This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show. A little in excess on your Wednesday morning. Winnipeg Jets are in excess of goaltenders right now. It's a segue. Maybe good, maybe bad, but it's a segue nonetheless. Thank you for joining us. Kicking off a Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day. Arizona Coyotes in town. Yeah, those Coyotes. Gondola Pizza warm-up show at 2 o'clock with Hustler. Hustler and Lawless follows at 3. They'll go to 5:30, and that's because Rick Ralph will be in with the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5:30. They'll go to 6:30, and that's when Puck Drop is. Dennis Bayak, Shane Knighty, Paul Edmonds with the call tonight on the station between the Winnipeg Jets and the Arizona Coyotes. And then the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show. A lot of stories going on around the Winnipeg Jets today and this week and last week and going forward, I would presume, as well. Jim Tilth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Can't wait for tonight, baby. Let's get this going. You know, the Coyotes suck. Nobody ever loses to them. They can't generate any offense. This is a gift wrap win tonight.
There are no easy games. I'm going to tell you that
For some teams.
Whoever loses
for some teams.
To Arizona.
For some teams.
Go get them, boys.
Hey, the Flyers lost twice to Arizona.
Flyers
fans. It's a fun time to be a Flyers fan living in Winnipeg.
Remember when they went on 10 in a row?
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the Flyers becoming the first team in league history to win 10 in a row and miss the playoffs by 10 plus points.
Wow. Who did that recently? Oh, the Montreal Canadiens. It happens. Lots to talk about, of course, with the Winnipeg Jets, and we'll delve into all of it. More of your phone calls, of course, at 9 o'clock as well, if you'd like to weigh in on it. But Andre Pavlik rejoined the team yesterday, had practice. We'll hear from him later in the show. We'll hear from Paul Maurice later in the show. Just to clarify everything as this news broke yesterday and delving into some things. So here's the situation with the three goaltenders. Michael Hutchinson, nothing changes. If he was to be sent down, he would need to go clear waivers. That's how it's been all year long. Connor Hellebuck now has to clear waivers if he's going to be sent back down to the Manitoba Moose. I want to preference this with, I'm not saying what's going to happen or this is what I think, or I'm just letting you know the situation with the three goalies. Michael Hutchinson needs to clear waivers, as was always a story. Connor Hellebuck is now 23 years old, and he's played 60 games. His last start in the National Hockey League was his 60th NHL game. Under the new CBA, once you've played 60 games, ironically, it's 60, and you're 23 years old or older, you have to clear waivers regardless of your situation. Andre Pavlik has 10 games or 30 days before he can be sent back down. After that, either one, the 10 games or the 30 days, he would need to clear waivers once again as well. So that's the situation with the three goaltenders, gentlemen, as we delve through it yesterday. There were no, as we found out on the Big Show, need to clear re-entry waivers because those don't exist anymore under the new CBA. So if there's a positive in all this situation and the Jets' goaltending issues is that I delved in more to the CBA yesterday and we all learned something. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, gentlemen? We've heard the audio. We've had time to sort of listen to Maurice and Andre Pavlik, and I'm sure you guys heard about it on Twitter as I did yesterday and some opinions. We opened the phone lines. We'll do it again today. Andre Pavlik is back, and he's getting the start tonight against the Arizona Coyotes.
And you're asking what our opinion is of that?
Well, is it the same as yesterday, or has it changed now that we know some of the details, now that we know why they're doing it? Paul Maurice basically stating that he's going to start, and we need a win. Michael Hutchinson was out on practice prior to taking part, working with Wade Flaherty, so he looks to be the odd man out. And it looks to be a situation where they're going to go forward with what a lot of people thought was going to happen at the start of the year with a Hellebuck-Pavlik tandem for the near future. And I want to emphasize this, and this is what Paul Maurice said, and we'll hear later in the show from him in a bit, but basically emphasizing that they're not done with Connor even this year. that they just need a change in the position. And it looks to me like it'll be Pavlik and Connor Hellebuck, at least for the next 8 to 10 games, or depending on how he does. But that's the two that'll probably dress night in, night out, and Pavlik gets a start tonight. Your impressions on that?
Yeah, and of course they're not done with Connor Hellebuck here. I think this, basically, you're going to see some form, unless Pav goes on a wicked hot streak right out of the gate, some form of what a lot of people thought would happen at the start of the season in some level of platoon here. And so the battle that a lot of people thought would happen to start the season off will start now to some degree, right? If Pav goes out, they got a back-to-back coming up in a couple games. So you would suspect that they'll stay far away from Pavlik with his historical numbers and back-to-backs, regardless of Paul Maurice's understandings of them. Just think you'd stay far away from that. And so we'll see Connor Hellebuck sometime pretty darn soon. And you just let's hope for the sake of the team here that both these fellas get engaged in a fantastic battle and make it real difficult on the coaching staff to decide who to run forward with more often.
Yeah, because, I mean, hey, getting both goalies hot here would be a nice change from what it's been this season, right? So it's not like, you know, if Pavlik plays bad, that it's necessarily a bad thing for Hellebuck and the Jets here. For this game tonight, I'm not expecting a whole lot of goals against, to be honest with you. I think this game and this environment and everything around it is just the perfect storm for a guy like Pavlik to get back into the net and have some success here early on, because you do have a weak opponent, regardless of them beating the Jets, you know, less than a week ago. This is a team that, you know, generally everyone takes advantage of. They have this season lately, then 2 wins in their past 12. The teams beat up on the Arizona Coyotes, and you have them at home. You haven't been playing well as of late. The team's going to be jacked up to get back home. I'm sure the atmosphere in the building is going to be much, much more electric than what we have seen, you know, over a bunch of the games at the MTS Center this season. I expect nothing but success from Pavlik tonight, to be totally honest with you. And I wouldn't shock me at all to see him stop 28 of 29 or something along those lines. I just think everything around this is just kind of melting at the perfect opportunity to have Pavlik back in his first game.
I don't know for sure that he has a great game, but I think the Winnipeg Jets have, I think tonight we see a real strong defensive game. When you take it all the, you know, what else the Jets could have done here to shake and rattle the team or make the most dramatic impact on this team without some substantial personnel change? Like, this is about the biggest thing Paul Maurice and the Jets could have done to rattle and shake this group up, and I certainly hope and pray that they respond and we don't see the debacle that we saw first time around here with the Coyotes.
So do you guys like the move?
Yeah, I don't. You know, the whole thing with Hutchison, I was thinking a couple of games ago that it's just that we were talking about it too, right? The door was open then if Hutch didn't respond for sure, where you had to do something. I don't have a problem with the move whatsoever. I know there's not a future in it. Like, there's no way in HE double toothpicks that Pav would get re-signed by the organization. But you can't have the goaltender who's supposed to back up and complement your upcoming starter. You can't have him running at the rate that Hutch was. And also the impact on the team, I like it from that perspective, where this is the most dramatic move you could make to rattle this team that something is wrong with and they need to do something to wake it up.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the recall itself. I said yesterday that I'd go back with Hellebuck in the net with Pavlik kind of waiting in the wings there and just hanging behind him, this kind of big looming threat for him, just to see how he responds and see what his mental fortitude is and what kind of athlete he is. I would have liked to have seen that, but I understand Maurice's mindset, and he kind of just echoed it a number of times throughout his press conference yesterday, where the Jets need wins, and, you know, maybe more importantly, he needs wins. He needs something right now to have his job kind of move from hanging in the balance to maybe something that's a bit more comfortable here, and he feels like a shakeup's the best way, and I can't totally disagree with him, but I would have liked to have put a ton of pressure on Hellebuck just to see how he would have responded to all that.
This is The Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca, Santa Lucia, Winnipeg Jets game day. Winnipeg Jets host the Arizona Coyotes at 6:30 tonight. I don't mind the move. I don't think it's long term, and I liked what Maurice said about Connor Hellebuck. And what I said, what I meant to say was they're not done with Connor Hellebuck. I just meant that, like, it sounded to me like even if Pavlik gets hot and goes on a run here, that they're still going to, you know, give him some games. It seems like just a bit of a breather, as we were talking yesterday, stop the bleeding. Something has to shake this team up. Barring a trade, I don't know what could shake it up more. And I think that you can't force a trade right now or find one in the immediate, like today or tomorrow. Maybe you can. I don't know. To me, it's an interesting move. And the other question that comes with this, gentleman, is then did the Jets screw this up on some manner by not having Andre on the roster at the start of the year, like Trevor Kidd sort of references, by not maybe starting Hellebuck down below at the start of the year, by not maybe waiving Hutchinson, although I think that if you waive Hutchinson now, he likely won't be picked up, but I don't know if that's the same at the end of training camp. In some fashion, when you look at all the different angles of this, is this not the Jets sort of admitting that maybe we messed this up a bit and believe too much in both young goalies as opposed to having the vet on the roster?
You know, man, I can't stand criticism when you look in the rearview mirror and you make a go back to like that. If you were crying out when they sent Pav down, the vast majority of Jets fans thought that it would be Pavlik and Hellebuck, mostly because the organization wouldn't have the yichis to send Pav down. Right? I think that's why most people probably thought that. You look at it from a numerical standpoint, Hutch looked like he was at a certain level and, you know, ready to move and grow on and improve a little bit. And Connor Hellebuck, certainly most people thought that he was poised as well. So I don't think that it's an admission of some mistake. I can't recall hearing really anything but positive, unless you got a 31 jersey, positive things when they sent down Andre Pavlik. So no, who would have thought that Michael Hutchinson's numbers would be what they were at this point in time? That's the big thing here that jumps out, I think. Michael Hutchinson there. So I don't think you can look over your shoulder and point to them unless you were calling it when it first happened.
Well, and I bring it up because Gary Lawless on Hustler and Lawless yesterday was pointing out the fact that even if Pavlik was here for Hutchinson and had his basic average five-year career numbers, they'd have three more wins. And three more wins would have them in a wild card right now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, to
echo what Troy said, when you went into the season, would you have forecasted Hutchinson at an 8.93, 8.94 through 20 games? Like, if you knew that was going to happen, well, yeah, you would have had. You know, like, it's hard to say that nobody saw that coming necessarily. I think worst case scenario, I thought you would have seen both these guys around a 9.05, 9.07, where, you know, it's not killing you necessarily, but it's certainly not helping you. So, I mean, this is a year where the expansion draft, I think, forced their hand as well. Because you're right, if Hutch gets put on waivers at the start of the year, he gets claimed. There's no way he doesn't get claimed. That was just the reality of the situation at the time. Because you have a young goalie in and around a 9-10, I believe, career save percentage at that point who had proven that he could play in the NHL. There was a bunch of teams, Edmonton being one of them, without a real backup, without an option in the expansion draft, that would have snapped him up.
There was like five teams that needed.
Everyone here would have been crying about how Chevy didn't have, you know, the foresight to find a way to keep a goalie like this, and then there would have been this big scramble to get somebody in that would have fulfilled that requirement. So, I mean, yeah, it didn't work out. Just because something doesn't work out doesn't mean it wasn't the right move. Yeah. It's similar in poker. I mean, if you get pocket kings and you lose the hand, it doesn't necessarily mean that you played that wrongly. It's just sometimes the best laid plans don't work out in the manner that you thought they would.
So this is the old, in your guys' mind, we didn't mess anything up. We're just trying to fix what's going wrong.
Yeah,
in the present.
And to me, there's nothing wrong with making a move when you're involved in a situation like this that best serves your environment and situation for that time. I don't like the going back at all and pointing a finger. Unless you're making that call when it happened, don't you dare go back and start beaking about it now to me.
And that is the reason Hutchinson not only was here at the start of the year, was also because he got a two-year deal. That's the other reason he got a two-year deal in my mind, was to make sure for the expansion draft. So Interesting times around the Winnipeg Jets, and we'll talk more about it. But coming up next, we'll delve into the Islanders firing Jack Capilano. And Craig Button's going to join us today. He was on Hustler and Lawless yesterday, and he was on TSN That's Hockey as well. Strong comments on the coaching of Paul Maurice. We'll discuss that next as well on The Big Show, TSN 1290 on a Santa Lucia pizza, Winnipeg Jets game day, Coyotes and Jets tonight on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca, Santa Lucia Pizza, Winnipeg Jets game day, H&L at 3, Manitoba Building Trades, Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5:30, Jets and Coyotes at 6:30, here on Windows, Winnipeg Jets postgame show. We'll wrap it all up. Jim Tilf, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on the Big Show, TSN 1290. Thanks for joining us this morning. The New York Islanders have fired head coach Jack Capilano yesterday. Reports saying that it was an organizational decision, which usually means it wasn't the GM's. Garth Snow, still a New York Islander. Surprised? Thoughts on the move to get rid of Capilano?
I'm not surprised. Don't follow the Islanders real closely, but there have been talks, like, you know, whispers about this for a couple of years, I think, even, right? Just people being people close or big fans of the team. Of course, we got Scotty, a longtime listener here that's a huge Islanders fan. But just some of their just not able to take that next step, and been hearing this for quite some time. Mired in the basement right now in the East. Not surprised.
Made the playoffs last year and dead last in the East with 42 points, 1 point behind the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, and surprisingly the longest tenured coach in the Metro going back to last year as well. So I mean, he's been there a while, and Snow certainly hasn't helped him with some of the moves that he's made there, but you know, you have John Tavares, who's getting closer and closer to free agency here. And, you know, with the team kind of floundering where they are right now, I mean, you know, boy, you're in a real tricky situation, because if you lose Tavares with everyone that's kind of walked out the door as of late, that, I mean, that's a move that cripples your franchise there. So I think they're trying to be proactive and progressive here in doing moves and making things to maybe make 91 happy as well.
It was sad, right? Because they're poised there. A couple years ago, they were just poised to take that next step.
And well, last year.
The house of cards have fallen a little bit with some of the signings and stuff.
But what is Garth Snow doing? And, you know, I'm never in the mind of stuff, and I like to comment and criticize where it's necessary. This is god-awful what he's done there. Bringing in Andrew Ladd at that money, no disrespect to Andrew Ladd, but for that money, when you're letting guys like Opozo walk, Franz Nielsen walk, you basically let all your star players walk and gave the same amount of money they got on the open market, sometimes more, like in lesser individuals that aren't going to produce as much. I don't understand what the line of thinking is, but nobody understands what the line of thinking is with the Islanders when it comes to their owner, when it comes to their ownership, and sometimes with Garth Snow. Garth Snow did a great job of building that into what it was, and then can sometimes seems to be his own worst enemy. Now, I don't know if when Opozo's walking and those guys are walking, if the ownership is saying, no, like that's another decision. But if those are his decisions, I don't understand what the thought process is with some of the guys he let go and some of the signings. And it'll be real interesting with John Tavares. Gentlemen, Craig Button's going to join us from TSN, of course, a good friend of the program. Very critical of the coaching that's going on with the Winnipeg Jets, and specifically Paul Maurice, talking about the system play, the lack thereof. He sees that he's always cautious to say we use the word systems too often, but the penalties the Jets take, the out of position that they are, very critical of the coaching that's going on here. Admits that goaltending, you know, the players, all of that is a factor, but also making a valid point. And I've been saying for a long time, I don't think Paul Maurice needs to go yet. I think he's got some coaching to do going forward here, at least for the rest of this season. But I also admit that Craig Button has some very good points in the fact that, like, a lot of the things he brought up about this team are coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Or do you agree or disagree
with
that?
Well, there's certainly, like, the penalty, the special teams and the penalties, right? That's what has been a conversation here for a while already. People are waiting to see. And I remember a couple weeks back asking if everything, if the Jets finish in this situation after 82 games where they're again at the top with the penalties and they're 25th in the power play and 28th in the penalty, whatever it was back then, what does that do for Paul Maurice in the situation? And you have to wonder a little bit. I think there are some very valid questions being asked there by, and thoughts being offered up there by Craig Button. And ultimately, like what we asked at the end of last week when I asked you guys, do you guys think a coaching change is made first or a dramatic personnel change? And to me, that's the question here. And if it's personnel, it seems like a lot of people look at a guy like Dustin Byfuglien and wonder, is that the piece that gives you the most sort of bang for your buck in radically altering the DNA of this team? It's going to be one or the other, you sure figure.
It's easier to change the coach. That's
in season. You know, right?
Well, even off season, I don't know. It's just easier to change a coach off season too, just because it's so hard with the cap to make trades.
Yeah, and you know what? You wonder too, Troy, if maybe there's kind of a package deal there, where coaching staff and a certain player, whoever that might be, you know, in kind of a package move gets shipped off there. Just because this team has gone through a coaching change, they've never really gone through the shakeup trade. You know, Latta was traded, but we all know the situation with UFA and the Kathan and all that sort of thing.
You know what's interesting to me? I was talking to somebody in the States with ESPN yesterday, and we were talking about Dustin Byfuglien. And he said to me, he laughed when he verified what the dollar amount attached to Bufflin's name was. Like, who's going to take Dustin Byfuglien for the next 4 years at 7.6? He said five maybe. But 7.6, you think some team's going to take that on?
Yeah, but
and then he got into the conversation about what we do, about like GMC, all the same warts and stuff that you guys do. What do you think? It's so interesting because it's such a dichotomy when people talk Dustin Byfuglien and the upside and then the warts that come into play. It's really interesting.
Well, that's why I put this on Dustin Byfuglien. Like, I put a lot of stuff on players. I think coaches often get blamed a little too much. And I know you can't change players, but Dustin Byfuglien was considered a bargain when he signed that deal. Like, they were expecting him to get $8-9 million on the open market. There were teams out there that were salivating at Dustin Byfuglien's play last year at that price. And when he signed that deal for 7+, everybody was like, he's leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. And now you see his play this year and everybody's like, well, who's going to take that? And that's the way I think of it too. And I've said that before, gentlemen, is, you know, you always have to wonder, everybody wants to get rid of their own garbage, and they assume that another team wants it. And that's not the case. That's why it's so hard to trade as well in this league, I think, is not only because of the cap and the salaries and everything that's involved, is just that alone. But it's interesting to me that Dustin Byfuglien's value in 40-some games this year has dropped so much to what it was as an $8 or $9 million guy last year. Is that not surprising?
It's not really surprising to me, because I believe very strongly in the old saying, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
We got to take a break, but we'll be back with the Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day on the big show. We're going to hear from Paul Maurice. We're going to hear from Andre Pavlik. We'll hear from Connor Hellebuck. That's up next on the big show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of sports. Every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who is dedicated to making their sport matter. Every Friday on the Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. Visit TSN 1290 to nominate your sports star, and we could be featuring them soon. Santa Lucia Pizza, Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN and TSN 1290, and TSN1290.ca. H&L at 3 o'clock. Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5:30. Puck drops between the Jets and the Coyotes at 6:30. Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets post-game show wraps it all up. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you this morning on the big show. Thank you for taking the time to join us. And Mr. Pavlik has joined the Winnipeg Jets. Called up yesterday, Ben Chiarot put on the IR. That allows a roster move. Paul Maurice addressed the media yesterday, and one of the first questions asked was what led to Andre Pavlik being recalled by the Jets.
So it's never off the radar, so it's not just the last few days. Andre's game has started slow and has really improved. And we've struggled in our net, and we've got to win hockey games. So we've got a guy that's feeling confident, feeling strong. We've got two young guys, either in experience or in age or both, that are struggling a little bit right now. We have an opportunity. I'm not a big three goalie on the ice fan, but based on our lack of practice, there's stuff that when you're struggling, especially as a young goalie, you got to work on, and you need real technical work to get back at that. And we'll have an opportunity to do that now. So we won't be, in general, putting three goalies on the ice. We'll give one of the goalies some one-on-one time with Wade, and then we'll put the other two on.
And what happened yesterday was it was Michael Hutchinson who got the one-on-one time with goaltender coach Wade Flaherty for about 40 minutes prior to practice. Then Andre Pavlik and Connor Hellebuck joined the team on the ice. Thoughts on that? On the reason for the recall? I mean, we discussed that. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, we have discussed that.
Paul Maurice was also asked how long he expects Andre Pavlik to be up with the club.
We're not doing this as a long-term plan. We've got three goaltenders. I don't think that's something you're going to see long in our future, but nothing set in stone.
Sure.
I want to see him tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to see only one of them.
If Pav is, I don't really know and understand that a whole lot. As far as saying, hey, Pav's not up here long-term, if that was what was implied there, if Pav clips along at 920, he ain't going anywhere.
I think that might have been more towards the three goalie, I guess, thought.
But even the three,
and
like,
that's going to be an interesting.
What do you do there?
How do you finagle around that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Realistically, if Pav is playing well, their only option is hope Hutch clears waivers. Right? Like, that's where they're at right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and it goes back to, I guess, what our discussion was months ago, that even if you lost him at the start of the year, you go find a guy and sign him for the expansion draft. But to me, I agree with you. I think if he goes on a heater, why would you not use him? If he's average, then you go back to Hellebuck, much to your guys' point about why you would play him today, is you go back to him more. But he's got 10 games and 30 days before he has to clear waivers again. He basically has to go, like, 9-0 for me, for not to see him get sent back down.
Yeah, you keep talking record. I don't care about the Jim. If he went 2-7 during that stretch and had a .920 save percentage, like that's all that matters, man. How good is he doing his job? That's what matters. And hey, for the team, I hope he is fantastic there. Like what a great opportunity for Andre Pavlik, and he's got a chance here to. You know, if he goes on, gets on one of those wicked hot streaks, and even doesn't need to be like back-to-back-to-back shutouts or anything like that, like we've seen from him, but just go play at a high level so you give yourself an opportunity to possibly secure another NHL contract.
But isn't it about wins? Like, to your point yesterday, if Connor Hellebuck isn't struggling, is what you're telling me, so then if he gets back to, why are they doing this then? To me, it's the wins and losses.
But Hellebuck has a above 500 record. That's what I mean.
So,
but that's not what you're saying.
That's not how you measure how well a goalie is doing his job, Jim. You measure a goalie by that. So that's all. If you're stopping a good chunk of the pucks you're facing, you're doing your job well.
But if Hellebuck's above 500 and he's not struggling, why is he not playing then?
Well, you keep.
I was just making the point that the record is inconsequential. Right? Because, you know.
I think they're doing this to get a win, is what I'm saying.
I understand that. I'm just saying that when you look at records with goalies, it's just.
Not just wins and losses. I understand what you guys are saying. I understand if he comes in and does a .928, he's not going anywhere, even if they lose. I get that. But this is right now, today, about getting a win.
Yeah, and Jim, you get a win by having a .920, or maybe, like, you're not going to get many wins when you're going 894 a la Michael Hutchinson.
So. Say he has a .920 in 10 games. Is he going back down?
No chance.
In nine games, because he's got to go down before the 10.
Well, it'd be shocking. I don't think so. I don't know what they do with the three goalies.
Unless you make a trade. Like, you know, if Pavlik plays well and teams get interested and maybe Hellebuck's playing well in that time span too. But if he's clipping along like that, I mean,
depends. Like, the playoff line, all that. Like, all those things come into play to make an interesting situation.
So Paul Maurice was also asked what this means for Connor Hellebuck.
All part of the process. Would you preferred that you take the ball and run with it and away you go? For sure. But when you look, and I know you've done the research. If you haven't, you're going to do it this afternoon. Go take a look at all the number one guys. The number of guys that either aren't playing on their team or just like the extreme example, and none of you will admit this, but Carey Price drops a 905 into after his first couple of years, and he's got to go. And Halak's the man who's got to stay. Now, nobody's going to admit that, but anybody who's been in the game remembers that exactly was happening. This guy's not a bad goaltender. And so many of them, the vast majority of them, don't come in, but they go through the stretch that Connor's going through. So they have a difficult stretch of time. It's almost a really good situation because we didn't want him. I wanted to play him. I still do. It's not... And I think Canadian markets will watch this a little bit closer. The mistake is, say, is at his age, with the work that he's done, he's not good enough. And that's not what we're saying here at all today. He's going through the process that he needs to go through to give himself a chance to be a dominant number one goaltender in the league. He's a Winnipeg Jet today, and we expect that to continue.
But isn't he saying he's not good enough today? I understand, and we've said that, and I've said that he's good enough overall and going forward, but aren't you sort of saying he's not good enough today?
I don't think so. I think there's other things coming to play here where it'd be I'm right with Wicks. I would have really have liked to have seen them start Connor Hellebuck tonight to see, you know, with Pav coming up, that squeeze. You got Arizona, a team he just the team in general struggled against. And just to see how he responds to the entirety of the situation, right? And we've talked about adversity and overcoming bumps in the road, all the rest of it. I would have liked to have seen him be put in the spotlight tonight to see his response. But when you have Andre Pavlik coming up, who's playing at a good level right now, and then also I think the most important factor of this decision tonight specifically is what can we do to shock this team? This group of athletes, of men, they are so underperforming right now that it's approaching a tragedy. Think of that second period in San Jose where they were basically punked for extended periods of time, just drowning in their defensive zone. What can Paul Maurice do to shock this team a little bit? There's no question that the easiest thing to do here is to put Andre Pavlik in for whatever impact that might have, and hope that you see some response from this group.
He could bench a player, too. He could healthy scratch somebody.
Yeah, he's still reluctant to do that, yeah.
And I get that, but then you look at the alternatives that are on the roster, and that goes into that, you know, hurt 23 for the play of one type thing. So, this is, I guess this really is the only move you can make. This is the only move you can make as a head coach right now. And I'm assuming working in concert with the GM, and recalling the guy, and it makes things harder for Connor Hellebuck. I mean, he mentions Carey Price there, but who did Price have with him? He had Yaroslav Halak throwing up some pretty solid numbers as well. It just puts your team in a tough position when if you feel like your number one guy isn't giving you his best, you know, most teams can go, well, we'll throw the backup in and we can kind of stem the tide a little bit here. But you throw the backup in here in Winnipeg and the tide just completely, you know, capsizes your ship and you find yourself floundering even more. So that's I still believe this whole situation is more about Michael Hutchinson's poor play than it is about Andre Pavlik, because if Hutch has been able to come in here and he gives you something 9-10 and up, you're able to kind of put Hellebuck on the bench a little bit more often perhaps, and you can kind of monitor that situation a little bit more closely instead of having to go down to the AHL and bring up the veteran guy.
And I've been around coaches before where you're on, and myself or with other athletes, that you're on a slippery slope or you're on the edge, and then they see something and it's just like, that's it, I'm done. And I think the backboard off the right pad into the net was that moment for Michael Hutchinson.
And to your point, or his point, Paul Maurice's, that is about Carey Price, even if Hutchinson was playing way better and had better numbers, he'd still be the guy that was going to go because Connor Hellebuyck's the future. And the flip side of that is when we talked about if Andre Pavlik had been here since the start and just had his average career five-year numbers, they'd have three more wins. Well, if Hellebuyck was even average, they would have, or Hutchinson, sorry, if Hutchinson was even average, they'd have three more wins and be in the same spot too. So it does speak to the position overall. Maurice was also asked if where they are in the standings prompted this move or was a factor in calling up Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, that's part of it. We got to win hockey games, right? So both our guys are struggling a little bit in the net, and Andre's playing well. And he may give us the best chance tomorrow night. We'll see beyond after that going forward who's in the nets for us. If we like his game, then I'll throw him back in. So we've got to win hockey games right now. There's no doubt about it. We also got to get these two young guys back feeling good and on track. And with the weight of what's going on, we've lost four in a row. That's a lot to put on them. So they need a little step back here. We got a guy in the minors. So if you take the names off the bars and we're talking about defense, we're talking about the exact same thing. If you got two guys in there that are really struggling and a guy that's really going, you're going to make a change. This one is more up center because it's goaltenders, but that's the gist of, at the end of it, is what's happened here. Our goalies are struggling, and they're played well, and they're capable of playing well, but they're struggling. Andre's playing well. It's time for him to get in the net.
Santa Lucia, Winnipeg Jets, a game day here on the big show, Jets and Coyotes at 6:30. Now, Andre Pavlik also addressed the media yesterday, and he was asked if he has anything to prove now that he's been called back up to the Winnipeg Jets.
Not to anybody, not to everybody. I want to prove myself that I can play. I can play the NHL, and I belong here. But that's pretty much it. I don't look at to show anybody that I can play. I was always saying that I can play NHL, and here it is. That's I got the chance to prove myself that I'm the NHL goalie.
Okay, now wait a second. It's a little bit like Drew Willey, isn't it? I got nothing to prove. You got a whole pile to prove, my friend. I mean, for crying out loud, the worst save percentage in 200 games played for any starting goaltenders over the last 5 years, I think that's the stat. I mean, you got a pile to prove. Don't think for a second that Andre Pavlik doesn't know exactly where he fits in with his rate of production compared to other starting goalies in the NHL. So it'd be refreshing to hear an athlete. I mean, that's a defensive response, I think, right? If you're a confident athlete, and if you were asked, you got something to prove, you're damn right I got something to prove. But come on, man. So Drew Willey, Andre Pavlik, man up. Say you got something to prove, man.
Well, he said not to anybody else, but to myself. Like, he did say I got something to prove to me that I can still play here. But
well, no, he's got a lot to prove to everybody across the board, man.
Given what we're talking about, though, and the way the team's playing in front of Hutchinson and Hellebuyck, does he still
hang
not
on, Pav? Yeah, it's same thing here.
Well, no, I'm just talking about how horrific this team plays defensively.
Well, yeah, hey, man, if they, that's where you hope that this sort of shot to the heart here with Pav coming up and in and being introduced and trying to do something to jumpstart and shock this team, you hope that somehow that comes together, right? Like, that's, I think that's more important. I've been saying this from day one here during this tough stretch and tough time. I think that is a more glaring, pressing issue with this team than goaltending still is what's going on defensively right now.
It is. It's been that way since day one, hasn't it? And look, we talked about, too, how neither side has helped each other in this whole situation here. But at the very least, wouldn't you like to see their play on the rush improve? Where they're giving up a ton of odd man rushes, a ton of goals, where they're overmanned coming back into their own end. Like you just like to see some baby steps done in that regard where, you know, maybe you don't fix what happens during the cycle and when the team starts off in your own end. Maybe you can't fix that in one night or a couple of nights, but at the very least, you know, kind of mirror that effort from a couple of years ago where a team would come through the neutral zone going back the other way and they were suffocated from behind because of the forwards applying all that pressure, and it just hasn't been that way this year.
And you know what was pointed out to me by a member of the national media that doesn't live here? He said, the Jets system is designed for odd man rushes. It's designed with this skill they put into the lineup to create a lot of odd man rushes, which is going to give up a lot of odd man rushes. And he said, that's another reason why Maurice and the organization is frustrated with the level of goaltending is because they want to count on their goaltending more so than they ever have, given this new – not new system, but the style in which they play.
I don't know how that can be accurate, because I listening to Gary Lawless talk yesterday and checking some of the sites, they are – they don't allow a lot of – like their Corsi against and their events aren't high. So who in the hell would want to develop a system that invites and allows a bunch of odd man rushes against?
Well, they don't want to invite odd man rushes, but they want to be more offensive. They want to create more offensively. And just naturally, when you do that, you give up a little more.
But they're not doing that. Like, they're not, they don't have, they don't create a lot of opportunities for themselves. And I think that they're only fourth in 5-on-5 chances against, or of course against, something along those lines. So it's, the whole thing adds up to being pretty strange right now. Yeah, what's going on?
That's why I think they're struggling at both ends, because they're trying to do and nothing's working both there and back. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we'll hear from Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very interesting comments concerning what Antonio Brown did after the Chiefs game. That's next on The Big Show.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin videotaped and streamed live on Facebook from Antonio Brown's phone during his post-game comments to the team, as well as Ben Roethlisberger's, saying some, well, language that he's not happy got out, and also some things about the Patriots and the direction and what they want from the Steelers this week. Basically, a post-game address to the team that should remain in the room in private was leaked out by his star receiver. Mike Tomlin addressed the issue yesterday. Hang on here. Sorry. 1 second. That's my fault, Brandon. Here's Mike Tomlin from the Steelers.
It was foolish of him to do that. It was selfish for him to do that. And it was inconsiderate for him to do that. Not only is it a violation of our policy, it is a violation of league policy, both of which he knows. So there are consequences to be dealt with from his perspective. We will punish him. We won't punish us. And we'll do so swiftly, and we'll do so internally. It's a global thing in regards to professional sport. I think that's oftentimes why you see great players move around from team to team. And I definitely don't want that to be his story. I'm sure he doesn't want that to be his story. So he has to address these things.
My respect level for Mike Tomlin was high. It just got higher for these comments. When he even addresses the fact that this is why some players get shipped out, he's talking about the best receiver in the National Football League. Sorry, Odell Beckham Jr. fans and Dez Bryant. He's talking about the best receiver in the National Football League, and he's not giving him any leeway. And I respect that. What Antonio Brown did was absolutely ridiculous and dumb, in my mind.
Well, in anybody's mind. It was the height of stupidity in this remarkable age of social media. And it's to think of all of the things and the level of trouble that Mike Tomlin could have possibly have gotten in. Like, you were at your most emotional state post-game, right? It's worse when you lose there, where you could say some things that might get you into trouble or push the envelope. But to think that that's raw footage of a coach speaking his mind and just, the level of trouble and catastrophic potential nature of that is mind-blowing. And I think kind of, like, he comes out and says, Mike Tomlin did, that what he said was regrettable, the swearing, all the rest of it. But my goodness, does he come out of this smelling like a rose, like what you're implying there, JT? And Antonio Brown, just a complete clown. And I can't imagine, like, I would think that Tomlin would have a hard time restraining his anger in dealing with Antonio Brown and all of his teammates as well. That is an absolute ass move. And isn't it, it's tragic and sad, but it's so much the way of the world, boys. When you have that level of production, that level of skill, things like this get absorbed and are, you know, sort of eaten by the organization. But boy, you better not be this dumb again. Yeah,
damn millennials. I mean, it goes beyond punishment, like on the field thing, where you might sit him for snaps or for a quarter, whatever it is. Tomlin wants to box with him. He wants to get in the ring and go a couple of rounds because that is just the level of stupidity is so. And it's not a malicious thing, but it's so beyond stupid.
He's not trustworthy anymore. He's not. I would not trust him to come up with a game plan and give him information.
Yeah.
When you're doing that,
And with the Terry Bradshaw comments a few weeks ago or however long ago it was about Tomlin being a cheerleader, eat it, Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Because that guy can coach my team any day.
Could you imagine if Beckham Jr. played for Tomlin? He wouldn't play for him for very long. From what I get from that, he'd be gone. I really like Mike Tomlin's comments there. Now, he did say, we'll address it with Antonio. We will use him this weekend, all this stuff, but... To basically call out, he could have very easily sat there and said, it's an internal issue, we're not happy, and we'll deal with it. And he didn't. He made a statement, and I like that. We'll take a break. When we come back, voice of the Manitoba Moose, Mr. Mitch Peacock, joins us on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on The Big Show.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Welcome back to The Big Show on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Warm-up show at 2 o'clock. Hustler and Lawless at 3. Rick Ralph in the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show, 5:30. 6:30 is puck drop between the Jets and the Coyotes. And then the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show wraps it all up for you tonight. Jim Tilt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on The Big Show, TSN 1290. And TSN1290.ca, and this next segment is brought to you by Johnson Waste Management, and it is with our good friend Mitch Peacock, voice of the Manitoba Moose. Good morning, sir. How are you?
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us. And we'll just start with your impressions of the Winnipeg Jets tapping Andre Pavlik on the shoulder and saying, hey, come help us.
Well, I think that... As Andre said himself, he had a bit of a slow start to the season, but has really come on in his last 10 starts, or 10 decisions at least, with the Manitoba Moose, 4-5-1, but his goals against down to 241 over that stretch, and his save percentage in his last 10 outings was nearly 930, with 927. And so he's found the comfort level of his game and the confidence in his game. It is a different level of play, but it's as well as he's played all season long, and with the Jets looking for some answers there and looking for a little bit of stability, trying to find the winning combination. I think it's a good opportunity for them and for him, and curious to see how it goes.
Your thoughts on how this impacts and affects the Moose?
Well, Eric Comrie is an excellent goalie at this level, and the experience for him is valuable. He hasn't had a chance to play as much lately, in part because of Andre's play, but also because Eric's been ill and missed two games recently because of illness. So I think for him, it's a really good opportunity. We saw him last year take the ball and run with it when Connor Hellebuck got a chance to go out to the Jets. And so, nobody knows how long this will last, but Eric Comrie is more than capable. It's just kind of interesting, the timing of it, because Jamie Phillips is scheduled to start in the ECHL All-Star game tonight in New York State. And so he's going to get a chance to stay there and have that experience. And Garrett Bartis has been brought in from Fort Wayne at the ECHL just to back up for the short term.
Mitch, you were on the show throughout the preseason and the season this year with us and talking about how well Andre Pavlik has handled the demotion. Yesterday he sort of spoke to, I have nothing to prove to anybody, I mean just to myself, that I can play in the NHL. He's never been lacking confidence, and I don't mean that arrogance, but tell us about that this year and how the whole process has gone up until this point where he's back.
Yeah, Andre is a really interesting character. I think he's a guy who... really has a sense of what he's capable of, really has a belief in what he's capable of, is happy to bring that to any opportunity, any situation. And I think also he's a really proud individual. And when you challenge that pride, or when you have doubt in Andre, he seems to me to be the kind of a guy who will find his best performance. Now, this is not to say, we know what Andre's numbers are over the years. We know what his level is. I'm just saying that Andre is confident that he can bring that, and typically brings that when he needs to bring it, especially. We look back at the time when he gave up that goal in St. Louis and then took the Jets to the playoffs. So I think he's got a clear sense of what he is, a clear sense of what he can bring. And it just strikes me that he's typically the kind of a guy that brings the best of what he offers when he has to.
Mitch, the Jets struggling on special teams is another issue this year, but it's not the case with the Moose.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for the Moose special teams-wise because it's something that they haven't been pleased with. And they put a lot of attention into in recent weeks, Troy. And it started to come around quite nicely. The power play has a goal in two straight games, three of the last four games, has lifted its percentage on the season up to nearly 17, which is pretty competitive, but it was low to start, so they're bringing themselves in the right direction. And then as far as the penalty kill is concerned, 7-for-7 against a very good Chicago team on Sunday. And I think, let me figure this out now, they'd be around 84% over the last five games, which is also pretty solid at this level. So heading in the right direction. One of the things that they've done, Troy, is they've changed their power play groupings. They kind of balanced them out a little bit. They thought that one was a little bit perimeter, and one was better at getting pucks to the net and creating a net front presence. So they've done some adjustments to balance out the power play units, and it seems to have had a good effect. And on the penalty kill, what they've done, well, really special teams-wise, what they've done is they've tried to get away from reusing some of the same people. And in giving more people a chance to participate on the special teams, they've been able to find, I wouldn't say specialists, but people who are best suited for roles and not getting overworked. And it's really made a positive influence.
Voice of the Manitoba Moose, Mr. Mitch Peacock, joining us today on The Big Show. You can hear him on moosehockey.com and, of course, right here on TSN 1290. Follow him on Twitter, at MitchPeacock1. Two questions regarding Jack Roslovic. What did you think of his performance with the U.S. World Junior team? And, of course, how was he welcomed back, if at all, to the Manitoba Moose?
Oh, he was welcomed back with a bit of good-natured ribbing, of course. I know that before he left, a lot of people that in that dressing room were wishing him all the best in his pursuit of the silver medal, but as it turns out, he brought the other one back. But no, he's very well liked, and he's an excellent teammate, and the guys are glad to have him back. I thought he looked a little bit tired on Friday's game against Chicago, and maybe was trying to do a little bit more than he had to, but he does have points in each of his last two games and is the team's points leader with 21, a couple ahead of Dan DeSalvo. As far as how he played in the World Junior Tournament, I actually thought that he would play a more prominent role, but I wasn't that familiar with the U.S. program and just how he fit in their setup. He seemed to be quite comfortable with what they asked of him. I talked to him about it, and he knows that group very well. I think he told me there were eight of them that had played together in winning the Under-18 World Championship. So he knew where he fit with them and how they saw him, and he was very comfortable with the assignment. And it was able to be productive and play, I think, some important minutes in the most important games that they had. I just thought going there as an American Hockey League, guy who was leading his team in scoring, that he might get a more prominent slot. But as I said, USA Hockey and he have a good understanding, and he slid right in there and helped them to a world champion. Not too many 19-year-olds can say that they've got a couple of world championships under their belt. So I think that was just a terrific experience for Jack.
Mitch, the Jets recently called up Mel Chiori. If they were in a situation where they needed someone else, who would be next in line to be called up, do you think?
On the blue line?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure where they would go with that. I would think that it's possibly would fall to Brian Strait. Brian's missed a lot of time this year due to injury and has had to kind of find his rhythm on a couple of occasions. But let's remember that he's a guy that's been around and has played, with the New York Islanders, with the Pittsburgh Penguins, who's a good skater. I don't think things faze Brian, although he'll admit he probably hasn't had his best game at times. Because of that exposure at the highest level and playing some of the best players, there wouldn't be any wow or awe for him. So I think that might be the guy. But it's an interesting question.
Mitch, you guys start a six-game road trip, or the Moose do start a six-game road trip tonight, four games in Texas and then two in North Carolina at Charlotte. How's the team been on the road this year, and what are they expecting these next six games?
The team's been three games under 500 so far this season. Tonight's the halfway mark of the overall schedule for the Moose and halfway mark of their road schedule as well. And they've had their ups and downs on the road. It's been tough for them at times. I think scoring goals in general has been an issue for the team, and they've been trying to get better defensively to take the pressure off of their offense. some of those things are happening. They got a big win against Chicago on Sunday to give them some confidence heading out here. But, you know, I talked to Scott Glennie just before the team left Winnipeg, and he was saying that he really feels this is a critical time in the season for this team because they need to string some wins together to get a little closer to that playoff line. And it's not easy to try and keep yourself in a playoff race when you have an extended run on the road. And this is six in a row on the road, Jim, but it's also 12 of the next 14 on the road for the Manitoba Moose. Six games here, back home for two against San Jose, then out on the road for six again. And so the guys, at least the Scots representative and a few others have hinted at it, they realize this is the point in the season where if they want to give themselves an opportunity to be in the playoffs, they've got to find a way to, at minimum, tread water over these 14 games to set themselves up for what is a heavier home schedule down the stretch. So this will be fun to watch. This is a young team that's learning on the fly, and now the next experience is, you know, sort of that pressure cooker of staying in the chase for a playoff spot.
Mitch, this is more marketing or community maybe than hockey, but boy, those Firefighter Appreciation Day jerseys were sweet.
They were pretty cool, weren't they? And it's funny because I wondered, you know, when the idea came out and they were talking about colors and things like that, I thought, gee, I hope they don't look like Flames jerseys. That won't go over very well. And, and they didn't at all. You know, they really found a way to make them unique. And I know that the players loved them. And the players were honored, too. I mean, some of them have ties to firefighters. It really meant a lot to them. And I'm sure you know from your background in sports, Troy, that a lot of excellent athletes move into firefighting because of the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the working together under pressure, and the idea of sacrificing yourself for a greater cause. So it was a real privilege for those guys. I know a number of them talked about it, to be able to skate in those uniforms and to act on behalf, you know, of firefighters, if you will. And now the now the online auction is on. If you go to moosehockey.com, you can find out how to get in on the bidding and see if you can get one of those game issue jerseys. And all the proceeds go to the Manitoba Fallen Firefighter Foundation, which is, of course, a really important cause.
And Mitch, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the road trip. We'll miss you. And stay warm down there in Texas.
It's kind of creepy.
We can always keep in touch.
Was gone for a long time.
Thanks,
that's
Mitch.
A long time to be on the road.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Mitch.
Take care, guys.
He'll be on moosehockey.com tonight. The game against Texas is at 7:30. And, of course, the pregame show starts at 7:15 on moosehockey.com. Mitch Peacock, the voice of the Manitoba Moose, will delve back in to a Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets hosting Alexander Burmistrov and the Arizona Coyotes tonight at 6:30 on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. And we'll hear from Mr. Connor Hellebuck next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome back to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Jim Tilt, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki with you. And we want you to mark your calendars. Wednesday, January 25th is the Bell Let's Talk Day. On Bell Let's Talk Day, everyone can talk, text, and join in our social media to help end the stigma around mental illness. Send a Bell Let's Talk message of support on January 25th. And Bell will donate 5 cents more to mental health programs. You can also show your support on social media by using the official hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Let's beat 2016's record of 126 million messages and a $6.3 million donation from Bell. For more information on Bell Let's Talk or numerous resources available to those in crisis, visit BellLet'sTalk.ca. That's a good jam. Kickstart. My heart. Motley Crue.
It is. Yes.
The crew. The crew. This is The Big Show on TSN 1290. Our previous segment with Mitch Peacock was a presentation of Johnson Waste Management, a Winnipeg-run family business doing their best to be the very best. We were going to have Craig Button on at 8 a.m. today, and he just texted us and said that something's come up, so he's going to have to bow out. And that happens. We appreciate it. So we will run his comments from Hustler and Lawless and discuss those at 7:45. Today, and then retouch on them, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour. So, unfortunately, Craig Button had something come up. He was going to join us live, but we do have his comments on the coaching and some of the issues he sees with the Winnipeg Jets this year coming up at 7:45. And then, of course, we'll delve into it a little bit more during the 8 o'clock hour. And Boston Pizza Fan Line will be open at 8. Andre Pavlik is up with the Winnipeg Jets. He will get the start tonight on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day, 6:30. The Coyotes and the Jets is when the puck drops, and Pavlik will be in net. And Connor Hellebuck also spoke with the media yesterday. Here's some of the comments he had regarding the situation of three goalies now on the Jets roster.
You know, I don't think things change too much. I think we're just going to go out there and get better every day and make sure that we are at our best every day. And you know, the days we're not, we're making sure we're getting better at the parts we need to.
Connor Hellebuck addressing the situation there, and he was also asked if this recall of Andre Pavlik is sorry, Brendan, what's he talking about?
Yeah, he was just asked by Gary.
I know he just told me, but I'm trying to deal with the button.
He was just asked about Gary by Gary about if the recall of Pavlik was maybe a sign that management and coaching isn't pleased with the play of their goaltender so far, and maybe more specifically the past couple of weeks.
That's why I've written down here, if not happy. Anyways,
I mean, that's your opinion. Like I said, I'm getting better every day, and I think I'm 10 times better now than when I first came here in the season. And I've gone through a pretty big learning curve that I've never really faced in my career. And I think knowing what I know now, if I could start at the beginning of the season, I think I'd be a much more stronger goaltender.
What have you learned?
Well, I've learned the ups and downs, and you can't grip it too tight and you can't get too low. You really got to play a relaxed game, and you really can't let things bother you too much. The small details, they really count in this league. You might be able to get away with one in other leagues, but in this one, it's really going to pay.
I really like his he sounds strong there to me. I like his answers. I think way too much emphasis is being put on his last two starts. In the 10 starts prior to the last two games, he had a 6-4 record and a .922 save percentage. And then he has the struggle of the last couple of games. And I maintain in those six goals scored on him that there was that that maybe, like, to think of a soft goal, I'm a little bit hard-pressed. I'll say maybe one, and you can identify for sure three or four of the goals where you go, boy, it'd be nice to see your goalie make that. But you're talking about a highlight reel save if you want to point out, for instance, the first one against Arizona with Perlini screaming down in home plate, ripping it over his shoulder like that. So I think way too much of an overreaction to what's transpired the last couple of starts, and it'll be really interesting to see how this young man responds now to the veteran arrival of Pavlik and the next time Connor Hellebuck gets in the net. And let's hope in unison with that, for the sake of the team, Pav comes in, plays well, Hellebuck responds well, and the Winnipeg Jets pull their heads out of their fannies and start playing overall better in a team defensive way.
Yeah, because even, you know, going back before these the two pulls in the last week or so, I believe he was 5-0 coming out of games in which he had a really tough outing with, and they were really strong numbers as well to back that up. So, you know, for the most part this season, he's been hella resilient. He's been really, really strong after some struggle there. It's just he hasn't yet gotten the opportunity to work after these two games. And look, if he had two more bad games after the previous two, then yeah, then that's major struggle for a goalie. That's, I mean, kind of like what you're seeing with Henrik Lundqvist right now and some of the other netminders in this league who, and I know I'm not comparing him to those guys, right? But when you have prolonged struggle like that, it hasn't necessarily been the case. And so I still maintain that this whole situation is brought up by Hutchinson's struggles combined with Hellebuck's past two games, because like Troy mentioned, before that there wasn't a whole lot of talk about this, and even going into that Buffalo game, things were looking really up, and it was just, man, that third period just it's kind of funny and crazy to think, you know, if the Jets play a solid third period there, where this team could be at right now, as opposed to just kind of the spiral they've taken downwards.
We have some breaking news just coming out right now here on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca.
Play the fancy
oh yeah,
music.
we got breaking news. This is big. Let's play it.
Do we have it?
You tell me.
TSN 1290. Breaking news.
It's a smooth ship today. smooth sailing.
Our waters are rough.
breaking. The sea was my friends. Breaking news here on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. We've talked about it the last couple of days, but the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have re-signed quarterback Matt Nichols. It is official. He has re-signed with the team, and he is locked up until 2019. Of course, details on the contract itself and the numbers will come out. The team usually doesn't release that, but Matt Nichols has re-signed with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to be their starting quarterback, or at least their quarterback, going through and locked up through 2019.
Good news. A couple interesting moves yesterday with Kenny Stafford, now with Matt Nichols. Kenny Stafford had his most successful season with Matt Nichols, and really interested to see the growth here for Matt Nichols. If Paul LaPlace can and Matt Nichols can extract another step here and take this team to another level. Awesome stuff.
Yes, so we'll talk more about Connor Hellebuck and his game and all that coming up as well. But up next, the voice and the face of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 3 and here tonight on TSN 1290. Mr. Dennis Bayak joins us on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
The iHeartRadio app is where you stream TSN 1290 and hundreds of other radio and digital stations. Check out the Perfect Four menu to customize your listening experience. Your music, your stations, always free on the iHeartRadio app. Are you going to go my way? Breaking news. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going the Matt Nichols way. He re-signs through 2019 with a three-year deal. That's just breaking right now, moments ago. We'll have more details throughout the morning here on TSN 1290's Big Show with Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. It is a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Hustler and Lawless from 3 till 5:30, and that's when Rick Ralph in the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show takes over. Jets and Coyotes live on the station tonight at 6:30. Here on Windows, Winnipeg Jets postgame show wraps it all up. And on the station tonight, Mr. Shane Knighty, Mr. Paul Edmonds, and the voice you'll hear is Mr. Dennis Bayak, who joins us now. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, I'm very good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Your first impressions on the call-up of, well, your first and your now impressions, I guess, on the call-up of Andre Pavlik.
Well, they probably haven't changed now since my first ones, I guess. You know what? It's no different than any other situation. It just gets more under the microscope, I guess, when it's the net binding. It all started back when Andre Pavlik got sent down to the Manitoba Moose. It was a big story then, and rightfully so. And now it's a big story now, and I guess rightfully so, too. You've got two young goaltenders that have struggled a little bit as of late. If you had a defenseman that was struggling or a forward that was struggling, you would send them back for some more seasoning or pull them out of the lineup for a little while and bring somebody up that was playing well. And in this case, you're bringing up a veteran. This team needs to get back on the winning track. And as much as I don't think they've lost confidence in their two goaltenders on a long-term basis, I think on a short-term basis, I think both guys needed to take a bit of a step back, get some practice time in, and you've got a veteran in your system that has been playing well as of late. Get him in here and see if he can't get this thing going in the right direction here.
Dennis, would you agree also that you look at the second period of that San Jose Sharks game, and there were sequences there that were really disheartening where the Sharks were just absolutely dominating the Jets? When you combine the overall play of the team, this move also may be the best way to possibly shock this team into pulling things together?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You look at the last road trip, and you can almost take the second and third period of the Arizona game, where, especially from the midway mark of the second period on, the Winnipeg Jets had unbelievable offensive zone time in the Arizona end of the ice. They ended up getting a couple of goals. They couldn't find the one to tie the game up and take it to extra time. But their offensive zone time was incredible. And then we saw the reverse of that in the second period in San Jose, where the Sharks' offensive zone time in the Jets' end of the ice was incredible. And you know what happens with that long change? You get running around in your own end of the ice, and now you're going to try and do too much. So you run yourself out of position a little bit, and if your goaltender can't get a handle on it and hang on to it to get a face-off, the other team now squeezes in one change, and I think in that second one, maybe even a second change, and the more tired you get, the brain doesn't want to work as quickly as it should, the legs don't want to work as quickly as they should, and all of a sudden you've got yourself into that situation. So you bring in a veteran netbinder, and I think it'll settle everything down a little bit. And again, I think Paul Maurice made this very clear yesterday that it's not like they've lost confidence in the other two guys. It's just right now the way things are going, a veteran in that net, another veteran in the room, is probably not a bad thing.
We ran the comments from Connor Hellebuck. Where is he right now in his development, his season, and his mindset? He keeps saying how confident he is and that he feels he's better now than he ever was. Where's Connor Hellebuck in your mind overall, Dennis?
I think where he was going, I think this is all a learning experience for him. He's never gone through this before. It's no different than a player comes out of college, a player comes out of junior, and they've never been in a situation where they've been checked before or where they've been benched before or where they've gone through struggles before for six, five, how many ever games. And I think this is all a learning experience for Connor Hellebuyck. And if you take away, and you can't take away because they're there and they're glaring, the game against Montreal and the game in Arizona where he got pulled in the opening period, the previous four games after he got pulled against the Islanders were very good. His track record of games where he's been pulled and his track record after that has been very good in his young career. And again, we say young. But he's hit a bump in the road here. And, you know, I think this is something that they'll get an opportunity, and I think it happened even on the road trip where after he got pulled in Arizona, I think there's time to sit back on the bench. I think you watch, you think. Then there was the rest of the trip there to kind of do the same thing. And I think you learn things about yourself. I think you learn things about the game. And I think that's what where he is right now. And now it's a matter of getting some practice time in. And when he gets that opportunity to go back in the net, make sure you're ready. We've seen stretches from both guys, but, you know, you talk about Hellebuyck at 23. We've seen stretches of him where he's been very good, and now you just got to extend those stretches where he's very good and start to eliminate some of the games where he seems to struggle. And I think some of that's going to come just with experience.
Dennis, something that I'm reminded of as we watch some of these struggles, and it's, you know, between the pipes, defensively overall from the team, there just seems to be at a real crossroads in a lot of ways for this team in a number of different ways. And yet a young Josh Morrissey is out there, and I don't know that he's had a period that's been a rough go or a roller coaster ride or anything like that. Is his level of consistency, how remarkable is it what we're watching from this young man?
Well, it is. I think what he's done has been very good. And not to say that there isn't pressure on everybody on that team right now when you've gone four games without a win. But I think some of that pressure starts to fall probably more on some of the other players. And now I think you see some of the other guys try and do too much. And this is where you give credit to Josh Morrissey, because he's just gone out and done his job. He hasn't tried to play outside of his strengths. And there's lots of strengths there. But he hasn't tried to, when they're down a couple of goals, he knows that there's other guys on the team that are going to take the puck and go, and he can just play his game. And I think that's been a benefit to him. But I also think that he looks at the game from a very intelligent way. He's very much a thinker of the game, and I think he knows what his strengths are. And until, I guess, he's put in that situation where it's going to be up to him to do some more things offensively or whatever the case may be. But right now they've handled him very well, and he's handled it very well. He's you know, he's been in that 20-minute range on a regular basis. He's been over it a few times. But you really have to like what you've seen from him, just because of the consistency on a game-to-game basis, whether it's on the road, whether it's at home. And I think that speaks well for him.
The face of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 3 and the voice tonight on TSN 1290, Mr. Dennis Bayak, joining us on a Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight at 6:30 on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. This is The Big Show. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki. Dennis, I was watching some final comments from Barack Obama as he leaves office, and I thought, man, has he aged. And I looked at Paul Maurice lately, and man, has he aged. How frustrating has this been for head coach Paul Maurice?
Well, it's never easy. I mean, in the National High, all sports, it's never easy for a head coach. I mean, it started years ago, I think, with the National Football League, where you heard stories basically where coaches slept at the field. They had a room at their venue, and a lot of nights that's where they stayed because they watched video until midnight, and they were back up in the morning watching video at 5 o'clock in the morning. The National Hockey League, the last number of years, I'll say 10, 12, it's gotten more and more into coaching. The time that the coaches spend at their jobs is unbelievably higher than people think it would be. And anytime things aren't going good, you're in a pressure-filled market, you're in a pressure-filled job, you have a lot of people that want to analyze how you do your job, and that's the job that's the job you're in, and it's not easy. It's not easy to be in the public eye absolutely every single day, and you're not just dealing with yourself. You're dealing with 23 players. You're dealing with the ups and downs of youngsters. You're dealing with questions from media people about why things aren't going good, and that's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the beast, and it's not an easy job, and I think the longer you stay in this, I think the quicker you age. And I know when I got out of junior hockey, I think my aging slowed down immensely, you know, from that day-to-day activity and everything else. But, you know, credit to the NHL coaches because, as I said, they put in a lot more hours than people think.
It is interesting when you're in that sort of a position and dealing with struggle how you sure feel alive during that time too, right? Like every breath, every second, it's on you like some sort of a weight. I'm wondering, just because of the disappointment in that first period against Arizona in what seemed like impossibility unfolding before Jets fans' eyes last time around, if you one thing that you want to see the Jets do out of the gate here, Dennis, tonight, what is it?
Probably get some saves. You know what, and again, I'm not throwing all this on the two goaltenders because I think the Jets have won three games this year where they've given up four goals, and two of those came very early in the season. I think the last one was Tampa. So it's not like they've bailed their goaltenders out on a regular basis. But at the same time, I think for the confidence of this team, you know, and maybe even for the confidence of Andrei Pavlik, he was very clear yesterday. He doesn't think he has anything to prove. But I think when you look back at the start, they played well in Los Angeles. You look at the start in San Jose, Sean Matthias had a couple of great chances. They had some other chances early to take the lead, and then all of a sudden it's a shorthanded goal that has you down. They're still okay, and then you get the bang-bang in the second period, and then after that it was a bit of a train wreck. So, you know, I think everybody needs to come out here. Don't try and get a 3-0 lead in the opening period. But if there was one thing, I think that everybody would kind of look at and say, okay, here we go. It would be from Andrei Pavlik's standpoint and from the team's standpoint, is just have him get into the game really early, and I think you'll see the team respond to all of that.
How big of a homestand is this right now, Dennis, in your mind?
Well, this next stretch. This is huge, these four games. And then you look at it, I think starting on Saturday, I think it's 7 of 8, if my math is correct and my memory's correct, 7 of 8 inside the Central Division. So this next stretch here between now and maybe into early February after the All-Star break is critical just because of where you are in the standings and just for the psyche of the team and the confidence of the team. I think you need to get this thing turned around here and for the fans, you know what? They've lost two of the last three here, or three of the last four here at the MTS Center, and I think everybody just needs to get back into a good mood, take some of the heat off, take some of the pressure off, and start enjoying life a little bit. And Pat Quinn always used to say you could tell whether the home team won or lost in Canada just by walking down the street the next morning. If people had a smile on their face, the home team won. If they didn't, the home team lost. And as maybe as simple as that sounds, maybe I'm making it too big of a deal, but I just think everybody feels better. Everybody, the team, the coaches, the fans, everybody feels better when there's wins, and I think it's time to start feeling better.
Always a pleasure, sir. Have a good call tonight.
Guys, take care. Good chatting. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Dennis.
See you, Troy.
Dennis Bayak, once again, the face of the Jets on TSN 3, and tonight will call the game for us on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. 6:30 puck drop on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. We talked about the comments. Unfortunately, Craig Button can't join us today. Something's come up in his schedule, so we are rescheduling him for later in the week, but we will have some of his comments from the Hustler and Lawless interview that ran yesterday, and of course on TSN That's Hockey earlier yesterday or the night prior about coaching here and Mr. Paul Maurice. That's coming up next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Robertson College wants you to reboot your life with an exciting new career opportunity in 2017. Visit TSN1290.ca and enter for your chance to win a fully paid for tuition from Robertson College. One random winner will be selected on January 23rd to receive a Robertson College tuition. Good for any 2017 program, online or on campus, worth $15,495. Deadline for entries is Friday, January 20th at noon Central Time. For more information on how Robertson College can provide you with a new career, visit robertsoncollege.com. This is The Big Show on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight, 6:30 on TSN 1290. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you, and some news and notes. We're going to run the interview Craig Button had on Hustler and Lawless at 8 o'clock. He was going to join us today at 8. Unfortunately, something came up with him so in his scheduling, and he apologized. We'll get him on within the next few days for sure. Before we get into that and run those at 8 o'clock, gentlemen, there was a coaching change in the National Hockey League yesterday. The New York Islanders have fired Jack Capuano. The Islanders are last in the East, 1 point behind the Buffalo Sabres, and it is said to be or reported to be an organizational decision, which tells me that maybe it wasn't GM Gar Snow's decision, but the ownership got involved. Regardless, Jack Capuano, no longer with the Islanders, made the playoffs last year, dead last in the East this year. Your thoughts on the firing?
Not surprising at all. I think we've been hearing whispers about the possibilities of this forever. A lot of people questioning certain moves and the way he went about things regular season and playoffs past even. This is just a tragic tale. The Islanders looked like they were finally poised a year or two back to really make that next step, right? An energetic, fast team. Boy, they come play the Jets, and everyone thought the Jets were fast. Then the Islanders would go out there like, what in the world? They just looked like they were ready to explode onto the scene sort of thing and finally put years of futility behind them. Couple of wrong moves here with Snow there, a couple of interesting or ugly contracts as well now anchored onto the team, and you just wonder. It seems to me to be a tragic tale right now, and also you got John Tavares there swinging in the wind as a UFA at the end of next season.
It's kind of a cautionary one, too, because
doesn't it sound a lot like
what's kind of happening here in Winnipeg?
Easy.
Well, I'm just saying where they, you know, a couple of years ago, the Islanders had a ton of forward prospects. Their future was looking bright, and it goes to show that
you have a window.
You can draft well, maybe make a couple of nice signings here or there, but if you mismanage things just a little bit, a couple of bad signings, a couple of bad let goes. It's kind of crazy how quickly things can spiral for a franchise out of control there. And, I mean, they're one more season away, one more kind of lost year from completely losing everything. And because if Tavares goes, I mean, that's a move there that kills a franchise for at least 3 years to come there.
They're
because
okay,
he's the only thing keeping them from Colorado and Arizona territory.
At least they got Ladd, Cizikas, and Clutterbuck tied up long term.
Well, that's my point. Like, you've got those guys locked up long-term, but you don't have Kyle Opozo, who scored a ton of goals for you. You don't have Franz Nielsen, who scored a ton of goals for you. You don't, you know, the list goes on and on. Like, come on, what do you expect out of this lineup? I don't expect them to be dead last. Like, I'm not opposed to the firing because I guess they're underperforming, but they're not going to perform like they used to when you let go that offensive firepower and re-sign some of the guys you re-signed. And the mind-boggling thing about it, it's not like you didn't have cap room. It's not like you just chose to give your money to different players that you felt were going to be the difference, I guess. So it brings us to the situation here in Winnipeg. We're going to run Craig Button's comments from Hussler and Lawless yesterday and speaking about Paul Maurice and the coaching with the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, he brought up some valid points with me. And one thing that, you know, I do not think it's time to fire Paul Maurice. I do not think it's time to make that change right now with this group of players. And I do think they're underachieving a bit, but it's not to me on the coaching. It's more on the players with the situation in Winnipeg. But I also want to say the reason I sort of like some of Craig Button's comments was just because it's not all just defensive play, goaltending, everything. You have some players underachieving here, and rightfully or wrongfully, that's on the coach's job is to get the most out of the players he has. He's gotten a lot out of some players. He hasn't, and then it's not working. And or working as well as it could be. I don't think it's catastrophic because, as we said, three more wins are in a playoff spot, and I didn't have this team in the playoffs. However, I thought Craig Button brought up some issues when it comes to penalties, when it comes to the special teams play, stuff like that.
Those are the two things that jump out the most, right? And, hey, this is not a new conversation in this market, penalties and special teams. We were talking about this weeks ago. And if at the end of this regular season the Jets are still mired near the top with the most minor penalties or time shorthanded and are 25th-ish or in there with the power play and the penalty kill, some difficult questions might have to be posed.
We'll hear Craig Button's thoughts on the coaching here with the Winnipeg Jets coming up next from his interview with Hussler and Lawless on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. This is The Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 supports the Wild Winter Canoe Race on Louis-Riel Day, February 20th, on the ice at the Forks. The Wild Canoe Race is five-person teams racing their canoes over a snowpack 200-meter course. Proceeds will support Inclusion Winnipeg, enhancing the lives of those living with intellectual disabilities and autism. Fastest team wins a grand prize, five all-inclusive round-trip passes for two on Via Rail, and bragging rights. To sign up or for more information, visit tsn1290.ca. This is The Big Show on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca. Jim Tilt, Trey Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on a Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day. H&L at 3 o'clock. Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame at 5:30. 6 o'clock is puck drop between the Jets and Coyotes. And Alexander Burmistrov will be back in Winnipeg for the first time since being waived by the club and picked up by Arizona. The Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show will wrap it all up for you. Once again, if you're just joining us, Craig Button was scheduled to join us today at this time. A scheduling conflict came up, so we'll get him on in the next few days. But he did join Hussler and Lawless and talk specifically about his comments regarding Paul Maurice and the coaching going on with the Winnipeg Jets. Here is TSN's Craig Button on with H&L from yesterday afternoon.
Obviously, the pulse of Jet fans is, one of distress right now, considering the way this team has played. Well, what have you noticed from the Winnipeg Jets over the last couple of weeks?
A lot of disorganization in their team play. A lot of disarray in their own zone. I mean, in yesterday's game against San Jose, for example, I mean, they got trapped in their own zone for 55 seconds and then for a minute 59. And, when you don't know what you're doing and everybody else is switching around and everything, I mean, I hate to use the word structure, but I think it's overused. But their system of team play doesn't look very precise, and it doesn't look very united or coordinated.
Now, the common refrain around here is that it is, well, maybe it won't be all about the goaltending, but it's the goaltending is the biggest problem. They've tried to rectify that with giving Andre Pavlik another chance. How much of it is goaltending, Craig, and how much of it is outside of the crease?
Well, I mean, it's never just one thing. And, you know, you can look at goaltending. I'll ask you guys this question. The St. Louis Blues are really well coached. Entering after yesterday, they have moved from 30th to 29th in overall team save percentage. So we know their goaltending isn't good. But has it affected their team play?
It doesn't look like it. They're a pretty good hockey team.
Exactly. It hasn't. If their goaltending was better, they'd have even more wins. They'd have a better record. But their goaltending, Jake Allen, hasn't been very good. And, you know, that's impacted the record. So, yeah, has the goaltending been what you would like to see it? No. But at the same time, you go back and look, and I'll just give you a couple of things. You know, they had a fantastic season a couple of years ago and before losing four straight games in the playoffs. Since that time, in 129 games played, they're 55-62-12. And you start to look. They're in the bottom of every category. Goals against the game, 27th. Power play, 29th. Penalty killing, 28th. You know, and that's downward trending. And you start to look at their, they take way too many penalties. You know, in the last 2.5 seasons, nobody's taken more minor penalties than the Winnipeg Jets. Is that the goalie's fault? And nobody takes more hooking, interference, obstruction-type penalties than the Winnipeg Jets. That tells you guys are on the wrong side of the puck. They're not in the right position. They're reaching in, whatever you want to call it. So at the end of the day, you know what? Yeah, goaltending's been a factor, but that's not the only factor. And, you know, there's a lot of things. When I look at this team, I mean, you think about the second goal. I mean, great Mark Stewart stepping up to hit somebody at the offensive blue line. Paul Postma comes across. You know, you look at the types of plays that continually get made. I mean, I saw the Jets on their swing through here in Alberta. I mean, they get seamed. I mean, they give up the middle of the ice. Their positional strength is weak. That's not goaltending.
The Blues, it's fascinating that you bring them up because obviously they are one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Their average age is 28.1. So when their goaltending goes bad and you have a veteran group that's been together with the likes of Pietrangelo and Shattenkirk and Bouwmeester, they are able to withstand that. The Jets are, I think, they're around 26.3 right now in average age. So I want to ask you, Craig, is some of this being young and learning how to play in the NHL? Or, and we saw you on that talkie last night, you suggest it's coaching as well.
Oh, I think it's coaching.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. I think the biggest problem is coaching. And when I sit down and say like this, what I mean, Gary, is real simple. The responsibility for the way the team plays lay at the coach's feet. End of story. Okay, I know the goaltending can be better. I'm not, but the way they play, I'm talking about their system of team play. It's in disarray. It's uncoordinated too much of the time. So yeah, you can talk. But why are the Columbus Blue Jackets? They're younger than the Winnipeg Jets. You know, okay, yeah, you can point and say, well, they got Bobrovsky. Okay, the Toronto Maple Leafs are young. You know, why are they, you know, better? You know, and again, like, it's never one thing. You can't just say, okay, it's this one thing. And yeah, so let me ask you this. Is Michael Hutchinson a number one goaltender?
No.
I don't think anybody in the league would say it. Nobody in Winnipeg would say it. So, yeah, okay, so he spells the game. Why do you play him in San Jose yesterday?
Well, I think they've made a determination they're not going to play Hellebuck for a certain period of time. They've taken him out of the kind of out of the rotation, as you will, for a while, and that's why they've recalled Pavlik.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, I'm not. Guess what? Pavlik wasn't in the rotation yesterday. You ask yourself who gives yourself a better chance to win, unless Hellebuck's hurt. So I'm just saying, yeah, you can look at age. You can look at a lot of things. The weather, how many games they played. Gary, you go back and you look over the last 2.5 seasons, they're in the bottom five of significant coaching categories. And they're in the bottom third of just about every category. And they lead the league in penalties. And like I said, and I'll be very clear, the responsibility lay with the coach. So either this coach has to fix things and get it better, or they have to get a new coach.
Craig, how much of this, and maybe I'll put this, you'd be interested. We hear a lot of banging on Wade Flaherty, the goaltending coach for the Winnipeg Jets, and maybe we'll throw in the assistants as well. Wade Flaherty's taken some heat as the goaltending coach for the results the team's had over the past 6 years. Is that fair?
I don't know. I mean, you can look and place blame in a lot of different areas, right? I mean, I guess you can. I mean, when your team is doing not as well as people would expect or what you think they're capable of. I mean, there's enough blame to go around. So whether you look at the goaltending coach or you look at the power play or you look at the penalty killing or wherever you want to look, right? I mean, you can look a lot of different areas. But, I mean, really when you get back to it, and, you keep coming back to this theme, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm completely wrong. And I go back to Al McNeil, longtime NHLer, NHL executive player, and he always said this. If a team is playing to its capabilities and you're getting everything you can out of the players and you're not that good, well, then it becomes the onus goes on to management to get better players. If the team is better than you, that is not playing to its capabilities, and you see it falling short, then the onus goes to the coach. And I think this team is capable of a lot more. So whether it be the goaltending coach, whether it be the people responsible for the power play, whether it be the head coach, I think this team has to have better coaching. And whether that starts and does Kevin Cheveldayoff maybe have to look at trying to add better goaltending? Perhaps he does. But you look at all the different areas. Again, Wade Flaherty isn't responsible for taking all the penalties they take in. When you go look at the penalties they take, the penalties that scream, I'm in the wrong position and I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I'm a step behind and I'm not reading the play. So if Kevin Cheveldayoff is ready to come out and say, you know what, our team isn't good enough, I haven't provided enough good players, well, okay, then that's up to him then. So you got to ask yourself, if there's not enough good players, well, then that's on Kevin. And if the players are not playing to their capabilities, that's on the coaching staff, and that includes everybody. It's not just one guy.
Craig Button from TSN on Hustler and Lawless yesterday discussing his thoughts on the coaching here from Paul Maurice and the Winnipeg Jets. Your impressions of that, gentlemen?
Well, it touches on a lot of things. There's some real interesting comparisons, like with the St. Louis thing, right? St. Louis has a lot of trouble with their goaltending, but their shots allowed per game is fourth best in the league compared to the Jets being 19th. Like, he touches on a lot of things there. Now, there are some valid points when you're talking about specifically with coaching and things related to special teams, things related to penalties. The penalties of the Jets right now are 11th in penalty minutes per game, so it's not as glaring or as outrageous as it was last year. But sure, a concern going forward and something to keep an eye on. There's a lot of things he touches on there, and I think ultimately what you can derive from it is it's not one single thing. It's a number of things coming together here to create a real difficult situation right now for the Jets.
And one of them is coaching. Like, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I still don't think it's all coaching, and I still don't think it's all Paul Maurice, and I still think Paul Maurice can do a lot of good things. I don't think it's time to fire him. But I also, like, we talk goaltending, we talk defensive play, we talk Dustin Byfuglien, we talk everything else, the power play, the penalty kill. Like, coaching is another, like, and I think Paul Maurice would admit that he's got to get more out of these guys.
It's, well, gee whiz. When you say coaching, so there's sort of two aspects or angles of coaching, right? Your ability to connect with the players to extract the very most. And then it's your systems that you put in place, regardless of your sport, right? What are you doing to help make your team most effective from a technical and tactical standpoint? And there are some long conversations on both sides of that equation to discuss.
And I know we got to go here, but I thought Button made a great point there at the end, you know, where he kind of poses the question of, you know, if the players are good enough, that falls on the coach. But if the players aren't good enough, that falls on the GM and on management. And I guess that kind of comes down to where you want to lay blame externally for this team, because the players certainly shoulder a ton of blame themselves as well. But if you want to look at placing some of these issues outside of the players, that's kind of where that argument lies. And I think that's an interesting angle
to
take on this.
So who's not playing well? We agree Dustin Byfuglien's not having a great year. Who else? Like, we hear about Charlie Huddy, but to me, Charlie Huddy's job isn't to get them to play better in the zone. It's to get them to be good individual players.
That's correct.
And so Truba's not struggling. Morrissey's not struggling. Enstrom's not struggling. Tyler Myers was playing well when he's in the lineup. Sherrod and Postma, I think you could get more out of Ben Sherrod. I think Postma is what he is.
I think they're both what they are.
Dustin Byfuglien could play better. So there's four of the six right now that aren't struggling. And then there's, you know, so then you look at the forwards. Who's not playing well?
And which is what you're saying here. And with Paul, with Craig Button saying disarray, uncoordinated, to me, when you're talking the Jets in the defensive zone, playing man the way they do and chasing people around like that, and you've got a guy, Dustin Byfuglien, who's on the ice almost 30 minutes, and he is all over the place. I mean, when you're talking about systems, there's an integrity to being where it, like, when someone is constantly moving all over the place, guys got to cover for him, isn't that going to contribute to disarray and uncoordinated? Like, the combination of freelance and the combination of systems, to me, equals Craig Button's understanding of disarray and uncoordinated for the Jets.
We'll talk more about this and, of course, open the Boston Pizza fan line at 9 o'clock. But up next, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers had breaking news this morning. They have re-signed quarterback Matt Nichols to a three-year contract through the 2019 season. And Blue Bombers receiver, Ryan Smith joins us next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Monster Jam returns to the MTS Center Saturday, January 28th and Sunday, January 29th. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.ca. Don't miss your chance to see some of the best world-class drivers, including Gravedigger, Northern Nightmare, Nitro Menace, Jailbird, and more. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets. Visit TSN1290.ca for complete event details. And it's a good thing you're listening right now, because as Monster Jam returns to the MTS Center, we have two tickets to give away. 780-1290 on the Boston Pizza fan line. 780-1290, two tickets to Monster Jam as it returns to the MTS Center. Matt Nichols is returning to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The quarterback has signed a three-year deal. This morning, well, it was announced this morning, I assume he actually put pen to paper last night, or maybe even early this morning. So he'll be back, the starting quarterback for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. This is The Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight at 6:30 on the station. To talk about the Nichols signing and his offseason, we welcome in Blue Bomber receiver Ryan Smith. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us. And I guess your thoughts on Matt Nichols not only being back, but back for another 3 years with the Blue and Gold.
Yeah, obviously it's a really big signing. Matt does a great job. He did a great job last year, just really taking control of the huddle and being a leader out there and bringing his skills to the field and really just communicating with us well on the field. And we were really excited when he started playing quarterback, and I'm really excited that they re-signed him and he's going to be back next year.
So you get Matt Nichols back, and you also signed Kenny Stafford as of late to add to the receiving depth. Your thoughts on Kenny Stafford as a receiver?
Yeah, obviously, Kenny brings a lot to receiver depth. He from seeing him in Edmonton and then in Montreal, he's obviously a really good player. He makes a lot of plays too. He's a good player, and I'm excited just to get to know the guy and invite him with open arms in the locker room. And because I'm sure he'll, from what I've heard, I'm sure he's going to fit in just well with all the guys.
53 receptions, 488 yards, and a touchdown, an average of 9.2 yards per catch for you last year. Obviously, you found some chemistry with Matt Nichols. How long did it take to get to know Matt and work well together?
Yeah, kind of from mini camp, actually. We started off really well, just being able to communicate with each other in both off the field with everything. And he just does a really good job of kind of spreading around the locker room, talking to everybody and just making sure you get the chemistry that you need to get with them. And obviously on the field it takes some time, but it'll take care of itself. And you just got to go out there and work hard and be prepared for everything that has to come. And Matt does a great job of that. And said it's a good day for the Blue Bomber organization and for the whole offense of the Blue Bombers today, of him resigning.
Ryan, last year there were quite a few changes on both sides of the ball for the Blue Bombers, and you compare last year having the new offensive coordinator in Paul Lapolice. You guys doing what you can to learn as much of the playbook as early as possible. The change from Drew Willey to Matt Nichols, the injuries that occurred on the old line for new faces to come in, and that depth sort of being found. It's quite a story how different and ready to go you guys are going to be out of the gate this year compared to last year.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really nice. This will be the first year that I haven't had to switch an OC and learn a new playbook. So the fact that you already know the plays and have them down and know what Coach Lapo is looking for on them and know what Matt's looking for on them, it's just going to really help speed up the process of, you know, okay, we know the playbook now. Now we can start working on other things like, what do you want me to do in a different coverage now? Instead of just running your route to certain depth and just kind of not really knowing what's going on, but know the whole receiving corps now knows the playbook. And, you know, Matt knows the playbook well. Everyone else knows it well. And I'm excited to get out there because it's going to be a lot less thinking, more doing. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and talk about that, Ryan, just as you get going throughout your off season here. There's a lot to look forward to, and you guys aren't going to surprise anybody this year. It'll be a different dynamic for the CFL when it comes to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but you must be excited not only with Matt back, but with what you guys did last year, and the playoff game in BC was so close. You must have a lot of optimism heading into this season as a team and yourself.
Well, yeah, obviously that playoff game in BC leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Still, eh?
We don't want to. Yeah, still. we'll tell next year in the first game. But you know, you see, just. I'm sorry. What was the question you guys asked?
It's just about the optimism coming in, because you know you're not going to surprise anybody, but also that must be a good feeling knowing that you know you did some damage and there are higher expectations for this coming season now.
Yeah, obviously, and then like I said, BC leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and then, you know, we're not going to forget that feeling. We don't plan on losing in the first round this year. We plan on going all the way, and, you know, getting a shot at that Grey Cup. That's where we want to be at the end of the year. We want to be in that Grey Cup game, and, you know, we're a lot more experienced this year. We're a lot, you know, more knowledgeable of everything that's going on, and, you know, it's going to be a good year.
Ryan, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the rest of the offseason. I know a lot of Bomber fans with this news and a lot of other news. Kenny Stafford as well. Look forward to the upcoming season. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Yeah, no problem. You guys too.
Take care, Ryan.
Ryan Smith, receiver with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Once again, Matt Nichols signs a 3-year deal with the team. He'll be back until 2019, and he'll join Husser and Lawless today as part of our Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. H&L will be live 3 to 5:30, and then, of course, the pregame show with Rick Ralph. But they'll be doing that at Boston Pizza City Place, and Matt Nichols will join Husser and Lawless live at Boston Pizza City Place today to be a part of H&L and talk about his new contract. We'll take a break. Much more to come on the Big Show on a Coyotes-Jets game day on the station tonight at 6:30. We'll talk with our good friend Gus Katsaros next on the program.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to support the ALS Society's Manitoba Social Saturday, February 4th at the Winakwa Community Center. Get ready for great music, dancing, and amazing prizes. You can also enjoy the opportunity to party the night away with the ALS community. Advance tickets are on sale now from the ALS Society of Manitoba. More event details are online at alsmb.ca. And we also want to congratulate Dylan Moros, who won our Monster Jam tickets. Congratulations to him. He'll enjoy the event on Saturday, January 28th, or Sunday, January 29th, down at the MTS Center. This is the Big Show on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight on the station at 6:30 p.m. Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show will start at 5:30. H&L will kick it off this afternoon at 3 o'clock live from Boston Pizza City Place. And the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show will wrap it all up. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you this morning on The Big Show. And the breaking news of the day is the Bombers, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, have signed quarterback Matt Nichols to a three-year contract through 2019. He will join Hustler and Lawless live this afternoon at Boston Pizza City Place as part of our Winnipeg Jets pregame coverage. So Matt Nichols will be live at BP City Place. And I would venture to guess, gentlemen, he'll go to the Jets game tonight too. At some point, he'll be on the big clock, and they'll be like, Matt Nichols is back. He'll have to stand up and wave.
Maybe do a lap on the ice.
Do a lap on the
Check
ice.
Check out his skating skills.
Stay off the logo.
Stay off the logo, Brock Lesnar. Jerry Twitter told me and several other people that the Jets haven't won a game since Brock Lesnar
stepped
on the logo.
Yeah, so maybe someone needs to reverse that curse somehow. I don't know how you go about doing that.
Reverse the curse. I always like it when guys from other teams, coaches or whatever, are put on the Jumbotron because they're never expecting it at that time, so then they always put their beverage behind their back. Or some just embrace it. Jim McMahon would just be like, hey, cheers, man. Here we go. It's the offseason. Matt Nichols live on H&L this afternoon at Boston Pizza City Place, part of the Winnipeg Jets pregame. Coyotes and Jets. By the way, gentlemen, Alexander Remistrov is leading the Coyotes in scoring in per game. He has 1 point in one game.
And their leading goal scorer, Verbata, I believe, has 10 goals. They've got one guy with 10 goals this year, and it's Verbata.
We are going to talk some hockey with our good friend from McKeensHockey.com, Mr. Gus Katsaros. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we'll first start with the news of the day yesterday, not just with the Jets and Andre Pavlik, but with the New York Islanders. They move on from head coach Jack Capilano. What do you make of that move?
Well, this is probably something that could have been done at any point prior to here from the beginning of the season. It just seemed like the Islanders were just not clicking, considering that you know, they took out the Panthers last year. They had a decent run into the second round of the playoffs. The expectation was to build upon that, and moving some of the players that ended up leaving, like the Kyle Posos and all that, and replacing them with some players like Jason Chimera, and hoping that some of the younger players were able to step up, and they didn't. So the step back essentially just cost Jack Capuano his job. But at the same time, there are philosophical changes that haven't been implemented in New York. And, you know, there's it's hard to see an ending to this that doesn't come out with the Islanders taking another step back to move forward. You know, something in along the lines of maybe even moving in John Tavares or restructuring their blue line. Their crease is a mess. There are so many individual elements that the Islanders have issues with that it's hard to just pinpoint one and say, well, this is the reason why Capilano was let go. That culmination of all those little things ended up becoming one big mess.
We've had a couple of wild offensive outbursts over the last couple of nights. Let's jump back, though, to the Penguins and the Capitals. How much fun was that?
Oh, that killed me. I have Washington in a hockey pool for goals against. Every time a goal is scored, it's like a dagger through my heart. So that game was just crazy. But from an entertainment perspective, how good does it ever get? I mean, it ends in a perfect fashion, a perfect 8-7 win with Crosby getting the game-winning goal. Like it from an entertainment perspective, I wish every game was 8-7 because that just – it just brings out this crazy element in fans, and you're on the edge of your seat, and you just never know what's going on. And I love the entertainment value. I like that boring kind of defensive play. I like really getting down into the nitty-gritty and analyzing just what's happening on the ice. Every once in a while, you need one of these these defensive clunkers to kind of seep in to just remind you just how much you love to see goals scoring. I mean, we had another example of it last night with the Dallas Stars and the New York Rangers. Dallas goes up 7-4, all of a sudden it's 7-6, and now all of a sudden we're looking at another potential late 7 game. It didn't turn out that way, but goals are a lot of fun.
Jamie Benn was about to spend another $8,000 on hockey sticks if they lost that one.
Well, he might have needed a platinum credit card considering the fact that that would have been a devastating come from behind loss.
Yeah, for sure. Andre Pavlik's back in the fold with the Winnipeg Jets, Gus, and he'll get the start tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. Your impressions and what you expect from him being back in the National Hockey League?
Well, I think at this point with the Jets and just trying to figure out what's happening in their crease, my expectation would be average goaltending. He doesn't have to come in and shoot the lights out. He doesn't have to be fantastic. He doesn't have to solidify a position. He doesn't need to, you know, take over the crease indefinitely. He doesn't need to earn another contract. He just needs to come in and be average. There are other deeper issues on the Jets that I feel may affect their goaltending situation. The blue line hasn't been as good as expected, and they're starting to drop down to that bottom end of the bubble that I've discussed before, and I don't think that goaltending is going to be their turnaround point. They just need a little bit of stability and average goaltending from here on in. If Pavlik is able to offer that, no, perhaps he stays the rest of the season, but if he's not able to offer that, then I think that the Jets might start to look for other solutions.
Gus, I envision the situation right now with the Toronto Maple Leafs with Mike Babcock sitting on a wagon of horses, old school style, Western sort of thing, and these big, strong horses are just going, and he's losing control, trying to pull back the reins of excitement for Leaf Nation and all the rest of it. They are right now sitting third in the Atlantic, but they have 5 games in hand on Boston, who's second, 3 games in hand on Montreal. What is going on in Toronto?
Yeah, this crazy schedule, first and foremost, has made it very interesting at this point, because you do have some teams that are in the thick of things. You know, you mentioned those teams, but Florida and Tampa Bay are both at 46 games and sitting 2 and 3 points behind the Leafs and the Senators. So that entire Atlantic division is just one big boondoggle that just it keeps getting more interesting on a daily basis. Now, from the Leafs' perspective, it's great what they're doing. I've been adamant in the fact that they probably will be in a playoff contention up until around the trade deadline and then perhaps fall off. I'm kind of hoping that that doesn't work out. I think that they can make that final push. But it's not just the Leafs doing good things. Granted, this last stretch has been fantastic, but it's also some of these other teams that have been faltering. I mean, we're looking at Boston, and their record's only 23-19. I mean, it's not exactly a killer record. Florida's at 2018. Tampa Bay is almost at 500 with 21-20. Like, the Leafs are in the position not just because of what they're accomplishing, but because of what other teams around them are not accomplishing. So when Babcock's probably trying to pull the reins back and saying, guys, look, you know, we're doing good. We're on a good course. We're on a good path. We have vital elements in place for us to ensure a vital future. However, currently, the surroundings around us are propping us a little bit more than just what our own efforts have produced. So him pulling back the reins, I think, is correct. You can't give everybody the benefit. You can give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but you can't start proclaiming, yeah, we're in this position because of how hard we work. He can look around and say that, you know, there are other teams that have faltered enough for us to stick, and not only stick at this point, but actually make a push to push another team that was expected to be in the playoffs out of the playoff hunt altogether.
Victor Hedman's out of the Tampa Bay Lightning lineup. Oh, by the way, we're talking with Gus Katsaros, our good friend from McKeensHockey.com. Follow him on Twitter, at CatsHockey, on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290. Jets and Coyotes tonight at 6:30. Victor Hedman's out of the Tampa Bay lineup. Gus, what is that going to affect that lineup and how they play?
Well, you can't take a horse like that out of your lineup without it affecting a little bit of the strategy that you're probably using. Hedman has become, I shouldn't say has become, he's always exhibited, but he's one of those, like a secondary rover, similar to what Brett Burns does in San Jose, where he's not necessarily a luscious defenseman, but he's the go-between between the defensive part of the game and the offensive part of the game. He gets involved a lot more. He'll rush a lot more. He'll be more of a fourth forward. Sometimes he'll become the main anchor on the back end, but his contribution is pushing the puck up ice and the things that he does to be able to get the puck up ice. Taking him out of the lineup takes up that vital element. So now what you're going to see is a more conservative approach coming from Tampa Bay. Perhaps the defense not getting as active, not being as aggressive to try to get the puck up front. At the same time, you could think of the opposite being true. Because of the fact that they're taking somebody out, the defense might try to compensate for that, which I think might be a mistake because you're not playing to your skills at this point. You're just trying to compensate for an element that's been taken out of your lineup. Obviously, removing Hedman is going to take away a little bit of that transition game. And the blue line could suffer a little bit. I don't think that defensively it's going to make much of a difference, but you could probably see the puck not getting up to the forwards as much, and the support may not necessarily be there. So I would expect Tampa Bay to struggle a little bit more offensively, and not as much as on the defensive side that people may expect them to.
About halfway through the season, are you willing to engrave Brent Burns' name on the Norris?
It should already be there, absolutely. Like, there's nothing that's been done by any other defenseman at this point in time to even come close to what Burns has done. Forget about last year. It's actually funny. Last year I had using some of the passing project data, which is a project that tracks passes from hobbyists. They would take their own team and they will track passes, three passes prior to any shot event. With a small sample of data, it seemed that the major contributor to all of the Ottawa's offense came directly from Erik Karlsson. Almost 75% of passes led to offensive results. When I went back and looked at some of the data, which included a much more complete set, Brent Burns was almost the runaway leader at about 80 to 82%. Now, this is a player that probably could have and should have already won the Norris last year, but due to the hubbub between the Karlsson and Drew Doughty dust-up and the one reaction to Doughty trying to get a Norris and Carlson's, you know, the justification for having Karlsson beat them, it put Brent Burns in a position to be almost third. This year, there's no way that there should be any conversation. Burns has just taken everything away. 18 goals already, 45 points. We're halfway through the season, and he's at a point per game. He's become what I think we're going to see from a lot of defensemen in the future. Not necessarily a pure defensive guy, but more of a rover, kind of what we were talking about with Victor Hedman earlier, where he pushes the play on the offside, on the offense, joins the rush, supports, becomes very active, jumps off the blue line, but at the same time showing some defensive flaws that may necessarily need somebody to be there to pick up all that slack there.
Jets fans know a little bit about that, Gus. We appreciate your time. As always, thanks for doing this, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Pleasure's always mine, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, brother. Take care.
McKeenshockey.com, at Cats Hockey, and Cats is with a K on Twitter. Santa Lucia Pizza, Winnipeg Jets at game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight at 6:30. Craig Button's comments on Paul Maurice, we'll touch on those again. Dave Poulin, another TSN hockey analyst, doesn't agree with it being Maurice's fault. We'll hear from him as well. We'll tee up the Boston Pizza phone line. Andre Pavlik's back. Of course, so is Matt Nichols. Lots to get to before we open the phone line next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to be a media sponsor of the 2017 Canada Summer Games. All eyes will be on Winnipeg this summer as thousands of athletes from across Canada come to compete 16 sports in over 250 events. The 50th anniversary of the Canada Summer Games will welcome over 20,000 visitors. This is an event you won't want to miss. Volunteer registration is now open. To stay up to date on event details, ticket offers, and more, visit 2017canadagames.ca. or TSN1290.ca. Matt Nichols signs a three-year contract this morning. He will be with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers through 2019. We were wondering if it would get done. We knew it would probably get done. It's now gotten done, if that's good English. Got her done.
It's good stuff, man. Full steam ahead. It's going to be really a bunch of fun, I think, to see what this group can accomplish this year offensively. Defense, still lots of concern.
We're going to open the Boston Pizza fan line at 9 o'clock, 780-1290. What are your thoughts on the Blue Bombers re-signing quarterback Matt Nichols and signing him for a three-year deal through the 2019 season? Andre Pavlik will start in net for the Winnipeg Jets tonight and was recalled yesterday. We didn't get to all of your phone calls or nearly all of them yesterday on the Boston Pizza fan line, so we'll talk Andre Pavlik as well. He gets to start in net tonight for the Winnipeg Jets as they take on the Arizona Coyotes on TSN 1290 tonight at 6:30. What are you expecting from Andre Pavlik? What are you expecting from the Winnipeg Jets tonight?
I don't know what to expect from Andre Pavlik. I'm hopeful that he's able to step in and play at a good level. What I expect and really want to see tonight is for the decision to go with, to bring Andre Pavlik in, where to me this is the move that you could make to most profoundly affect and hopefully rattle this team a little bit. I want to see the guys in front of Andre Pavlik respond fantastically and play a real super sound game.
I think it's a perfect storm surrounding everything around this team coming back, playing poorly, Pavlik in. Atmosphere probably going to be electric tonight, and I think he's going to have a big game. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him give up something like one goal and 28 saves on 29 shots, something like that. I think it's going to be a fun storyline after that, but I think he'll perform well tonight.
What if he doesn't?
Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290.
We're going to go down that path.
Alexander Bermistroff is back in town. He has an assist in his only game with the Arizona Coyotes. What do you think from Alexander Bermistroff tonight?
I don't know, man. Like, boy, imagine how much he would love, like, how inspired is, you look at those two guys specifically, right? But just to stick with Bermistroff here, how inspired is he going to be to try and stick this right up the fannies of the Jets? It's going to be something to see him out there. And, hey, you're going to see him on the first team power play today.
Really looking forward to the video tribute I'm sure he'll get. After the first whistle, after the first TV timeout. I mean, yeah, he'll be jacked up after that, I'm sure.
He'll be skating his butt off.
Somebody said to me yesterday, if Andre Pavlik gets lit up and Bermistroff has a hat trick, will you even go into work on Thursday? I said, I'll go in early. Lots to talk about then. So Bermistroff's back. Andre Pavlik's back. He will be in net tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. Your thoughts on that? We didn't get to all of them yesterday. By all means, the Boston Pizza Fan Line, 9 o'clock, 780-1290. Now, Craig Button, we were going to have on today. Scheduling conflict, so we'll get him on later. But we did run some of his comments from yesterday's Husser and Lawless earlier. Here they are again.
I'll ask you guys this question. The St. Louis Blues are really well coached. Entering after yesterday, they have moved from 30th to 29th in overall team save percentage. So we know their goaltending isn't good, but has it affected their team play?
It doesn't look like it. They're a pretty good hockey team.
Exactly. It hasn't. If their goaltending was better, they'd have even more wins. They'd have a better record. But their goaltending, Jake Allen, hasn't been very good. And, you know, that's impacted the record. So, yeah, has the goaltending been what you would like to see it? No, but at the same time, you go back and look, and I'll just give you a couple of things. You know, they had a fantastic season a couple of years ago, and before losing four straight games in the playoffs. Since that time, in 129 games played, they're 55, 62, and 12. And you start to look, they're in the bottom of every category. Goals against the game, 27th, power play, 29th, penalty killing, 28th. You know, and that's downward trending. And you start to look at their, they take way too many penalties. You know, in the last 2.5 seasons, nobody's taken more minor penalties than the Winnipeg Jets. Is that the goalie's fault? And nobody takes more hooking, interference, obstruction-type penalties than the Winnipeg Jets. That tells you guys are on the wrong side of the puck. They're not in the right position. They're reaching in, whatever you want to call it. So at the end of the day, you know what? Yeah, goaltending's been a factor, but that's not the only factor. And, you know, there's a lot of things. When I look at this team, I mean, you think about the second goal. I mean, great, Mark Stewart stepping up to hit somebody at the offensive blue line. Paul Posma comes across. You know, you look at the types of plays that continually get made. I mean, I saw the Jets on their swing through here in Alberta. I mean, they get seamed. I mean, they give up the middle of the ice. Their positional strength is weak. That's not goaltending.
Craig Button from TSN on Husser and Lawless yesterday with his thoughts on some of the main issues with the Jets being coaching. Another hockey analyst on TSN that's hockey is former player Dave Poulin. He was also, I believe, on H&L yesterday, and he had these comments to the opposite side of that line of thinking from Mr. Button.
I don't think I'm in that space that Craig's in. I saw him last night as well, and I'm not there yet. I'm putting more responsibility on these players, Gary. I just am. And I'm not a guy that makes a knee-jerk reaction with a coach. I'm simply not. I played for 9 coaches in my 13 years of professional hockey, and I played for really, really good teams. My winning percentage is significantly, significantly over 500. And I know the nature of the business, and I know, you know, that is a move that is made fairly regularly. The question you'd ask is Paul Maurice the right coach for this exact team? I guess you'd ask that question, but I'm not there yet.
Dave Poulin on Hustler and Lawless as well. Boston Pizza fan line is open, 780-1290. What are your thoughts on both those comments as well? Pavlik's back. Burmistrov's back. It's a Santa Lucia Winnipeg Jets game day, 6:30 on the station. Mike Tomlin, we ran his comments regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Antonio Brown, the Islanders, a fire Jack Capilano. Lots to get to, anything and everything on the Boston Pizza fan line on The Big Show, TSN 1290, next.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Thank you. Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Jim Tilth, Troy Westwood, Brendan Rewicki on a Santa Lucia Pizza Winnipeg Jets game day. The warm-up with Hustler at 2 o'clock, H&L at 3 p.m. till 5:30. Rick Ralph in the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5:30. 6:30 is Puck Drop with Dennis Bayek, Shea Knighty, and Paul Edmonds on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Jets and the Arizona Coyotes. Then the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets post-game show. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. Some big remarks regarding Antonio Brown's deciding to put his comments on Facebook Live post-game against the Chiefs. It is a Major League Baseball Hall of Fame day. Does Tim Raines get in? We can weigh
Looks
in on
like
that
it.
As well. Is he getting in?
Well, there's a tracker I found, actually, that tracks the current votes that are in, and 55% of the ballots are in. And Bagwell and Raines are both at 88% so far. And you need 75% of the vote to get in.
Yeah.
So those two basically in.
Did you see
getting
Bagwell?
Close to that? Yeah, Jeff Bagwell as well.
You're damn right he's getting in.
And Troy mentioned this earlier too, but
this is the coolest
the big
part
one,
of the whole thing to me.
As cool as Raines getting in is, mm-hmm. for especially for Canadian fans, Bonds and Roger Clemens right now, 64% and 63%. So they're not there yet, but that's a gigantic jump.
Right? Yeah.
A lot more than they've ever gotten, that's for sure. So we'll weigh in on that as well if you wish. And, of course, the Blue Bombers re-signed quarterback Matt Nichols. 3-year deal till 2019. He'll join Hustler and Lawless live this afternoon at Boston Pizza City Place during H&L from 3 till 5:30 and get his comments on the 3-year deal. Also, the Jets. Andre Pavlik's back. We didn't get to all your calls yesterday. If you want to weigh in on the call-up of Andre Pavlik, what do you expect from the team tonight? What do you expect from Pavlik? Burmistrov's back. And, of course, we ran Craig Button's comments regarding head coach Paul Maurice and the job he's doing. We ran Dave Poulin's comments on how he thinks the team is doing and where some of the issues lie, more on the players. Anything and everything on the Boston Pizza fan line. And, Greg, you're kicking us off today on The Big Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm looking forward to seeing Pavlik again. Maybe it's a last-ditch effort. You know, maybe you got two goalies who haven't really performed well. So I think, you know, putting Pavlik in will give the team a little bit of a boost. But I think the more serious thing that crosses my mind is that this seems to be systematic here. I mean, we're going on a sixth year, and at first it was Claude Noel. Then it was, you know, Evander Kane. He was the problem, and that was causing rifts between the players, and then Pavlik wasn't playing that good, and then last year it was Andrew Ladd trade that was causing problems, and now we're looking for something else, and now we're saying it's Paul Maurice. So I don't necessarily think that Paul Maurice is the issue here. And are you going to want to go out and find a new coach as well as having to find another goalie now? I think that's going to cause even more of an issue. But to put this on Paul Maurice, I don't think is the right way to go. Those are my comments, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Greg. Again, you guys' thoughts on the coaching. I think that if it's a year from now, something needs to change coaching-wise. I'm not there yet, given the roster, and underachieving in my mind, but not to the point where I think it's the coach's fault. There are some issues with coaching, and I think it's part of the problem. They need to play better, and that's on the coach, but I just don't think it's worth making a change.
I would, if I'm going to be pushed to ask which I would prefer to, which do I think would have a more profound impact on this group, to make a heavy-duty personnel decision or to change coaches, I think for this group today to take the next step, I'm going to put the very most weight on a personnel change with this roster before I'm going to say coaching change.
And you know what? I'm not opposed to both of those things happening too. And if we're just going to keep it to coaching here, I don't know if a coaching change mid-season gets a whole lot accomplished for this team. But if things don't improve, and they don't improve vastly over the last 38, 36 games, whatever's left in the season here, then I don't know if you're left with much of an option, to be totally honest with you.
Well, you are left with an option if you consider the roster.
At some point, though, like Button said, bottom five in a lot of categories in the NHL over the past two seasons.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a personnel change isn't a bad idea. I might lean towards both of them, but it would be pretty tough to argue with the results. And we're not talking about a one-season thing, right? That's over 2 years in a row now.
Especially when you're talking special teams and discipline. But, boy, yeah, it's a conundrum is what it is, man. Jets fans, Jets Nation, are being attacked on a number of fronts right now, right? It's like pick what you're going to deal with first. It's horrible.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on a Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes at 6:30. Larry, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've got a few things I'd like to mention, and I'd like to buy dinner for Craig Button and Mr. Poulin for their comments. Basically, they're both right. Mr. Poulin wouldn't fire Paul Maurice yet, and I agree with that. Although he's got to pull up his socks big time, I think he's been handed a tough pill. He has basically, I would say, almost lost the room in the fact that Bufflin is not listening. A few other guys aren't listening. I think he gets them rolling in the right direction, and everything falls apart. He has got to, for an example, take Mr. Bufflin and set him down. I don't care how much he makes a year. Set him down for two games, or send him down to the AHL. I don't care what he does with him, because he's cost us games. Make an example of somebody, or trade him, or do something, because it's either he turns the team in that manner, or he's going to lose his job. It's one of the two. I mean, he's the manager of the team on the ice, and it's either him or somebody else that's going to pay, and right now it's looking like it's going to be him. He's got to do something. As far as he's been handed a tough choice, and I don't know whether it was his decision, they threw up a Hail Mary when they handed him two rookie goalies, basically. Whose decision that was very weird. It should have been Pavlik and Hellebuck to run this season, and now they pulled Pavlik back. That was no way to go forward this year. And all the people that are paying the bills, which are the fans, are having to live through another season of shitty goaltending.
All right, Larry. Sorry, buddy. We appreciate your thoughts and sentiments, but you can't use language like that on our program. We'll get to our next call coming in.
As deserved as it might be. Can't use that kind of language.
You just can't. But, you know, it's interesting because he sort of started out there riding both sides. Like, it is a collective. It is, you know, we're looking at goaltending because Pavlik got called up. That is an issue. We're looking at coaching because the defensive zone play and the penalties and everything else. That is an issue. We're looking at some of the players on the team. That's an issue. Like, the players, it's a combination of everything right now. And you said, like, the Jets fans are under fire right now because there isn't one thing to point at sort of here. It's a collection of everything in my mind.
Yeah, and they're kind of – Wicks and I were talking yesterday how, like, right now, you know, you need big saves from the goaltenders. You're right. You're like those 50-50 sort of where you look and you see it going and you go – and it kind of makes you squint your eyes and shrug your shoulders and go, oh, it'd be nice to see a save there. But then also you look at defensively and you're like, oh, come on, man. You can't – another odd man rush, right? Like, or something along those lines. Like, they're sort of cannibalizing one another right now, and I don't know how. Let's hope that this – there has got to be some value to the shock of bringing Pavlik up here. Like, the impact on the team. This will impact the team somehow, and you just wonder – can it lead to a little bit more cohesion? And I think most people look at things defensively for this team, right? Like, can they become a little bit – and it's not the number of opportunities necessarily that the Jets are giving up. Like, the totality of their numbers are okay. It's more the level of and the magnitude of what's being offered up here to help provide support, right? Err on the side of defense right now. Give support to the guy in the paint so it can lead to confidence, whether it's Pav or Hellebuck, and then spread out from there. I would really it would be a treat to see that, huh?
Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on a Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight on TSN 1290 at 6:30. Scott, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I've got one thing to say to Jets fans. R-E-L-A-X.
Is this Aaron Rodgers?
The Jets are where we thought they would be, or where a lot of people thought they would be. They're a young team. You know, Carey Price didn't have a stellar season his first year. They were debating whether or not it was going to be him or Halak. You know, so it's not give him a couple years, man. Everybody relax. You know, it's not the end of the world. Everybody comes on here and, you know, freaks out about everything. It's relax, man. It's a game, and, you know, chill out. Just relax. You know, in 2 years, they're going to be a really good team.
Scott, we appreciate the call on the Boston Pizza Fan Line. Have a good day. 780-1290. Norm, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. You?
Oh, not too bad at all. I agree with Troy. With Pavlik, is not going to be the answer. He's not no long-term solution for the team. What the Jets are missing, they're missing a winning attitude in that room. On the ice, it's like they come out and they almost feel like they're going to be losing. They got to bring up personnel from a winning personnel in this for this city.
Well, they haven't won though, Norm.
What's that?
Like, it's hard to create a winning. And I agree with you, but they haven't won.
I know.
So how do you have to create that yourself somehow? You have to start winning.
Mr. Sheveldayoff has got a lot of work ahead of him. He better get his pixie dust out.
Anything else?
Oh, no, that's it.
Okay, we appreciate the call, Norm. Thanks for doing it. Have a great day. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Who's next?
Let's get to Steven here.
Steven, you're on the big show. Go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
No one should be surprised at what's happening. The team got younger last year, and they got even younger this year. They were well out of the playoffs last year. This was not supposed to be a playoff season. Where I am frustrated, and what I've never got a clear answer on, is why, after making the playoffs and making trades to get to the playoffs, getting Stempniak, keeping Frolik around, making those deadline moves, they basically just scrapped the plan that finally started to show fruit. They were a big, tough, heavy team that could skate. Then they seem to just turn course and say, we're just going to scrap it, although we've finally seen some success, and we're going to get small and young, and that's going to take time. But that's where the fans are frustrated. If the 5 years that they started with showed no fruit, you could be patient. But as soon as it got decent, they decided to just throw it away and rebuild from scratch. And fans who are paying as much as they are for 5-6 seasons of season tickets do not want to start from scratch 6 seasons in.
Did that group that was in that playoff series, though, like, you take that group and you keep the guys that you're identifying all a little bit older in age, right? Like, could that group have gone a challenge for the cup?
You know, before they went into Anaheim, everybody said the Jets were the sexy pick to run to the finals. And they were leading in 3 of the 4 games against Anaheim. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of defensive breakdowns. Pavlik did not make the big save. You know, how close was Chicago the year they won the cup to getting knocked out by Detroit in 4 games before they won 3 in a row and 1-7? It takes a bit of fluke. It takes a lot of luck. But there was the building blocks for a team that could compete.
You think they had the skill, though, huh?
5 years down the road, but you know, you don't wipe out 5 veterans and put in 5 rookies. You make small changes bit by bit. That was the Red Wing plan. You let players overripen. You don't bring Hellebuck up last year. You don't bring him up this year. You do what they traded to Schneider. Let him overwrite Ben in the minors and bring him up a couple years later. And you just try and tread water rather than say, no, we're just going to wipe out the plan that's got us here and start a new course.
I don't disagree, Stephen, with everything except for the direction the team went, just because that's the way the National Hockey League's going. And it's for me in that playoff series, they needed a save and they didn't score. Adam Lowry was your leading scorer, and I think they needed to get some skill in the lineup if they were going to – I mean, could they get back to the playoffs? Maybe. But I don't think they'd last in the playoffs, and I don't think they'd score. I think they needed to add some skill to this lineup, and I think those are the changes they made. Now, you can argue Stepniak and all this, all the other guys, but I think they went young. They're starting to bring their draft picks up that. Now, the other stuff you brought up, I don't, you know – argue with too much. I just think that the direction they went after that playoff run was they clearly need some skill to score some goals.
That team wasn't winning a Stanley Cup.
No.
There's no, I'm sorry. There's just, they weren't going to. They weren't going to. I think they made the right move. They made the right move to not realize and look at the team and say, yeah, we could be a eighth place. We could be a wild card team for the next 3 years. But what is that? What does that realistically
would be
get
today.
Us? It would be very old.
Yeah, I think you got to go back to Scott and just R-E-L-A-X.
And remember, too, because that was next year, Ladd, Bufflin, free agents. So you're talking about keeping that team together. Mm-hmm. Everyone's laughing at Gar Snow and the Islanders right now for inking Andrew Ladd to a multi-year deal. That would be on Winnipeg right now. Like that kind of performance and $6 million a year is in Winnipeg if you keep that core together. So what they did... I think was the right move. It's a tough move, and it's a hard one for fans, but it was the right one. And maybe you kind of forget it now that he's been off the ice for 10 days, but brought you 29. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting him for the next, hopefully, 10, 15 years. So it's tough getting into the playoffs and then moving in the opposite direction, but I'll take that all day over a team that's 29 years average age and, you know, really... not a great shot at the Stanley Cup in the near future.
Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. More of your calls when we come back on a Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight at 6:30. This is The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to be a part of the iHeartRadio Network. Download the iHeartRadio app and listen to us on all your favorite devices, or go to the Perfect Four section and choose from hundreds of channels to suit any mood or music taste. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app and get streaming. The Big Show, Jim Tilk, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki on a Jets-Coyotes game day today at 6:30 on TSN 1290. Back to the Boston Pizza fan line. North End Rick, welcome back. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I find it funny. I mean, I think people give coaches way too much credit. And I mean, when you're calling from Reese's head, I don't think that I don't think that this is his issue in terms of system. I think when you've got, there's only so many reasons that a coach can get fired, and generally all the coaches in the National Hockey League are quality coaches. It's more so when you see a coach gets canned, he's lost the ability to drive his players, and I don't think that that's the case here. I think that in Maurice's case, the biggest factor, I mean, from years of playing and from years of being behind the bench, I know that if you don't get the alpha dog in the room to buy in, it's really, really difficult. And particularly when you have the player that you always hear Maurice, who talks about drivers and guys who drive the game and how important they are, particularly when you've got drivers of the game who are driving in the wrong direction. And you can't either, if it's Maurice and he's not addressing that, or if he thinks that that's okay, then I agree, he has to go. But if Maurice does not agree with the way certain things are being done, and he's trying to affect change, and that change is not happening, then whoever he's speaking to has to go. Because in particular, if that's the voice in the room and the guy who is the driver of everything, if If he's the issue, he's got to go. And unfortunately, I mean, we all know I'm talking about Buff, and I'm the biggest flip-flopper there is, because 5 years ago, I wanted him gone. And then there was this revelation where he changed and became this player that I fell in love with. And now I'm looking at it going, he's right back to where he was when I wanted him gone. And when you have a player like that who is so big and has so much of a voice in the room, if you as the coach cannot get through to him, then the GM has to know that, and the GM has to do something. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Rick. We appreciate the call. North End Rick on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Jeff, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to make a couple points here. I think there was an issue at the start. Well, I believe the issue was at the start of the season going in with Hellebuck and Hutchinson. I don't think that was the proper philosophy, having two young goalies, unproven, and trying to get one of them to carry the mail for the whole year. The whole Pavlik calling him up from the AHL, I think that's just a desperation move to shock the room. I mean, we all know what Pavlik is. I think that ship has sailed a long time ago. And my third point is this team is playing eerily the same way they did when the first coach,
Claude Noel.
Yeah, thank you. Claude Noel. They're playing very, very similar to when he lost his job. Now Maurice is behind the bench. They're playing the same way. I don't think you can show this pretty much this exact same core minus Ladd, that when you don't buy in, you don't compete every night, you don't do the small things to win hockey games, you can just show them to fire a coach and everything will be all the same. You bring in a new coach, then everybody's morale gets up. I don't think that's the right plan either. Having said that, this team consistently is inconsistent and they keep on making the same mistakes. Our power play is Jekyll and Hyde, to say the least. Our penalty killing is terrible at times. Sometimes it looks good. We're undisciplined all the time, have been for years. Our team defense is still horrendous. We give up the most goals in the league. And you know what's going to happen? We'll probably play a heck of a game tonight against Arizona, and then we'll fill our pants the next game. That's what this team does. They're inconsistent.
All right, Jeff, you make good points, and I don't disagree with a lot of them. I think it's a number of things. We've got to take a break. We'll take more of your calls when we come back on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to support United Way's Coats for Kids. Coats for Kids has been a Winnipeg institution since 1989. Every year from October to February, the program distributes winter outerwear to families in need. For some children, having a warm coat means attending school on a cold day instead of staying home. Donations can be dropped off at any Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service Station or Perth's Dry Cleaners. Full details are online at unitedwaywinnipeg.ca. The Big Show, Jim Tilt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rowicki. Julian Edelman, the Patriots receiver, apparently went off yesterday about Antonio Brown's Facebooking live.
Why would you feed the animal?
Mike Tomlin's comments and said that sort of speaks to how the Steelers are run. Ben Roethlisberger fires back, tell Julian Edelman that six Lombardi trophies show how the Steelers are run.
Yeah, like don't.
It is hot.
Do not engage, right? Let Antonio Brown look like an idiot. Leave it at that.
Yeah. I love that back, though. The six Super Bowl titles we have speaks to how we are running.
Still not as good as when Wes Welker did his press conference when they played Rex Ryan.
Yes.
And put about, what was it, like 10 foot references in there?
Yes.
That was an all-timer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because of the fetish Ryan had.
Can I offer up a prediction by Cody Weeb? And if it comes true, the city's going to burn down to the ground overnight?
You may.
Jets lose 6-1. Bermy gets 2 goals and 1 assist. If the Jets lose 6-1.
I don't know.
We'll go live till 11 tomorrow. Well, I got to check with our PD. But
yeah, don't offer us up like that for Pete's sake.
Come in.
It's going to be.
We'll start at 5.
It's
going to
be white hot.
Boss Pizza fan line 780-1290 on a Winnipeg Jets game day here on the station. H&L at 3, Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5:30. 6:30 is Jets and Coyotes puck drop, and the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show right after. Boss Pizza fan line 780-1290. Lloyd, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. Look for your perspective and trying to understand when you look at the top six or top eight NHL teams. And defense pairings, the third defense pairing, how many minutes would they play, and would the Jets benefit from a stronger third pair defense pairing so that the top four would come out and play their 20, 24 minutes so strong because you'd have the confidence of your third defensive pairing to make up those additional minutes? And just look for your perspective thoughts on, we talk about the defense, we talk about this, we talk about that, but what would a stronger third pair defense pairing do for the Jets?
Yeah, I agree with your thoughts there, Lloyd, and I've said all season long that I thought when the Jets look the best is when they're totally healthy. Tyler Myers is in the lineup, and Dustin Byfuglien plays no more than 25, and I like around maybe 22 to 24, and the minutes are spread around. And Truba's, I thought some of their best games is when Truba leads in ice time. Enstrom's up there, Byfuglien's up there, and Myers. And then the bottom two sort of playing as well. The balance on this team when they're healthy seems to be when they've played some games and the ice time is spread around. However, that's also spread around when they have the lead, and they just haven't had the lead a lot this year.
I don't know if that answers this question. Sherratt right now averaging 14-16, and Postma 11-21, Stewie 12-11. So there's your 5-6 guys. So far, would they be better off? Of course they would be better off. Every NHL team would like a stronger 5-6.
And that's kind of the point, like every team. Yeah, right? Like there's not a lot of teams that have a real solid third. I mean, the Blackhawks have won two cups playing their third defense pairing 5 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. They've had terrible third pairings, and they've found a way to kind of thrive through that. I think it just comes down to you need your top four to play at a crazy high level.
Well, I'll say this too, Wicks. It's not like in this most recent sort of place where this team's at. It's not like a goal happens, you're not going to go off for Pete's sake. Sherratt and Postma are back on the ice. I mean, it happened last game with Stewie Postma, right? The big hit. Postma chases the dude to the left boards, and you get a breakaway. But by and large, you don't look at the TV or look down at the ice and go, for Pete's sake, that 5-6 pairing is killing us. And it's much larger than that, for sure.
Thanks for the call, Lloyd, on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Bob, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Jim.
Oh, Cosmic Bob, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I didn't even know it was you. I'm doing well, how are you?
You bring joy. You have immediate joy, man. That is your impact.
Hi, Troy.
Bobby.
Hi, Brandon.
Hello, sir.
Two small questions for you guys. Would you agree with...
Wait a minute, Bob. We need you to turn your radio up again.
Wait a minute. That means, obviously, turn it down.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Would you agree with the premise, we can interpret the past, we can anticipate the future, but the most important is the now?
That's deep. You have to live in the present.
Oh, I tell you what, brother, emphasizing the present can get you in a whole boatload of trouble in the future.
Aha. Okay. Has Brandon got a comment on that?
I'm just waiting for number two.
He's a young fella. He's all in the present, baby.
Yeah, there's that. No past, no future.
The most important is the now, Brandon?
That's where I'm just waiting for number two here. Number one was just kind of the appetizer.
YOLO. Brandon loves YOLO. You only live once.
Okay, here's number two. Take the big guy. Take Ehlers out of that prime line. When Patrick comes back, put Buff in Ehlers' place. And, you know how sometimes it's nothing but a tweak?
Yeah.
Would you agree with
that? That is a tweak, baby.
Byfuglien played on a line with Patrick Laine.
And Scheifele.
And Scheifele.
Yeah. In other words,
I love that. But
pardon me?
I love that, Bobby, but I know we're not probably going to get a lot of support.
The BSL line.
I always like Buff up front. Like, hey, man, when he's locked and loaded, he's great in either position, but that would be a fun line to watch.
Yeah, and moreover, I'll let you go, but I just wanted to say, you know, you could say, Bob, hey, shut up. You're going to get a dozen points before you know it, and protect this guy. We're going to win.
This sounds like an idea that came off one of your dart parties.
Oh, indeed it did.
All right. Well, hey, if there's one way to get ideas, it's one of those. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate your call, as always.
Tortorella would do that.
Have a dart party?
Have the old Lion A. Shifley Buff.
Oh, yeah. Maybe on Team USA, and if Lion A. and Shifley defected. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Ron, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Bob makes my day. That's awesome. Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to call Monday. I was on hold, but I didn't get through. Yesterday was crazy. It was just busy. So I have a couple of things that I wanted to touch on before I get to hockey. Reed Carruthers, and I'm a curling fan, and I love curling. Reed Carruthers is really an upcoming their team is, like, phenomenal. And you could, like, when they played in the Canadian, I think they had the Canadians, and then they did the thing in Las Vegas here. Man, that guy is really up and coming. Met the guy. He's fantastic, nice guy, and I could see this team going far.
He's on a heater the last 2 years. Has really come into his own as a skip.
Absolutely.
Once again.
I wanted to comment on Darwin Adams, but now I got three that have been signed. Adams, Stafford, and Nichols. I'm pretty sure Nichols is pretty happy that he's got two wideouts there that, man, big guys. Physical guys that can get the ball and jump up and get those balls that you know what I mean. They've got height over the defense on the most part, and I think that's great that we got these guys going. I want to ask you if you knew. Okay, so Ryan Smith, was he only signed for 1 year, or is he still with the Bombers for next year?
He's back.
He's back. Eh? Okay. I thought he was a little disappointed, but
that doesn't mean he makes the team, though, right?
Injured, right?
That doesn't mean that he sort of sticks and stays, though, right? You can get cut during camp and all the rest of it.
True enough. I'm not sure about him because of his injuries. It is what it is, right? As for the Jets and calling up Pavlik. And there was some comments earlier about a guy who said, this is the same team. And I can't disagree with him that there's some things that are happening that when Claude Noel got fired, that they're happening right now. But we're also with a younger team. And I don't think that we should have stuck with Stepniak and all those guys that we got in the trades. I totally agree with the way that things have gone. And last year, Cheveldayoff and Maurice both said it. We are going to be younger, and we're going to have more skill. Doesn't mean that we're going to have the results that we'd like to see. It's a process. I have no problem with the way things are going. Yes, would I like to see more wins? Obviously. But they're going in the right direction. They'll be fine. This Pavlik thing, that's just the temporary thing, just to see what kind of reaction we can get out of the guys. So let's hope they can do it tonight. And please, Burmy cannot burn us tonight. That would be terrible. But anyways, that's all I have to say. You guys have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Ron, on the Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Just to touch on the Nichols deal, Gary Lawless is reporting it's pretty straightforward. Bonus money is for roster dates, so the number of years he's on the rosters when the bonuses click in, not for playing time. And the contract for 3 years is $400,000 in the first year, $420,000 in the second year, and $450,000 for Matt Nichols in the third year of his contract.
Good time to be a QB in the CFL, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I like it, too, because the emphasis is, like, you have to do some stuff, obviously, in the first 2 years, or they might look in a different direction. And I'm sure Matt Nichols doesn't mind that starting at $400,000 either.
You see Derek Taylor's tweet?
Yeah.
Go ahead, read it. That's provocative.
He said it for a while now too, and I understand what Derek's saying, and he's the numbers guy, and I agree with him. But it's also like in this league, there's only the amount of teams there are. So of course you're gonna.
It's like the NFL when you talk quarterbacks, right? It goes from the elite down in a hurry. But Derek Taylor saying that the Bombers, more or less here in signing Matt Nichols to the contract they did. Essentially, in his opinion, he says, quote, can't help but feel the Bombers nailed down the seventh best QB in the CFL, maybe eighth.
It's weird when you talk elite throughout the CFL because literally all starting quarterbacks are top 10. It's just not even
well,
10,
but elite,
you know
it's
what
not
I mean,
about
but.
That, which is an interesting statement. It's more about the, so if you've got nine teams, the elite would be the top one or two,
I
right?
understand what he's saying. I'm just saying, like, there's, with that many few teams, he is the seventh best quarterback in the league, but
because you got Calgary, BC. Yeah. Well, I'd say right now Calgary, BC, Edmonton. You're going to give the nod there, Ottawa and Hamilton for their starters. So if you're just simply talking starters, if we may, he'd be sixth right now. I think right. Saskatchewan doesn't have anybody. Montreal, Darian Durant. There's a kind of an up in the air with the injuries and the.
I would say at this stage of his career, he's better than Durant.
Durant's lock career. Him in at like a six range. Ain't that? Hey, that's going to be. We talked about this a little bit, right? It's not like you're not going to go win games 50-0 with Matt Nichols, most likely, and the ball control offense of Paul LaPolice. You're going to talk about a nice balanced approach to this team here. And Matt Nichols and the offense isn't the big question, boys. It's the defense. How profoundly different can the defense be this year?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing. $400K the first year, $420 the next, and $450 the third year for Matt Nichols. And all the bonuses are based on roster dates, not playing time. Back to the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on a Jets game day. Jets and Coyotes tonight at 6:30 on TSN 1290. Martin, you're on the program. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Martin. We'll take a break and come back and continue the phone calls on the Boston Pizza fan line. 780-1290. We're talking Coach Paul Maurice. We're talking Craig Button's comments. We're talking Andre Pavlik's start tonight. Mike Tomlin, Baseball Hall of Fame nods are in today. Anything and everything on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. The Boston Pizza fan line is jammed. 780-1290 on a Jets-Coyotes game day at 6:30 today on TSN 1290. Smokey, you're on the show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, I got a solution for Bufflin's roving around.
Okay.
Since he's the big dog, right? Put a shock collar on him for a couple of games. Maybe that'll teach him.
Every time he goes over his own blue line. Smokey, we appreciate the call. 780-1290. Jason, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. First on the Bombers, a lot of big signings, and Matt Nichols joining the team for another three. As a season ticket holder, I'm thrilled. I think I'm the most optimistic I've been in a long, long time. But I got to tell you, that's a lot of money, and a bunch of us are going to be doing ring around the rosary up in the stands for the first little bit, hoping it all pays off. But it's the start of what I think is maybe something special here in Winnipeg for the Bombers. As for the Jets, I think as a fan and occasional game goer, I find the inconsistencies to be one of the most frustrating things, not just the play on the ice and the defensive breakdowns and the goaltending issue, but the messaging and the moves from management really do leave me a little bit baffled. At the start of the year, we were told we'd be younger. Don't expect the big push. We're gonna learn a few things, see what we've got. And here we are now pulling up Pavlik after, making a call with the two young goaltenders. And in my opinion, we're kind of in the worst-case scenario in that the Jets are just on the cusp of a playoff position. We've got fans wanting more wins. We've kind of forgotten about the original plan, which was, develop the youth and accept that this is going to be a bit of a write-off season or potentially a write-off season. And here we are now, clamoring to make a push for the playoffs, get Pav in, win, and get into the postseason. And it just sort of it strikes me that defeating the initial message that we got at the start of the year you know, and it just adds to the frustration of the fans. So if we were 10, 15 points back and looking like the Oilers of years gone by, I think we'd be in a much more comfortable position just letting things ride out.
You know, Jason,
well, go ahead.
I would just disagree with you a little bit, or say maybe just take a step back from the statement you just made about them sort of abandoning the youth thing. This is just one position, and they're bringing in a guy here to help offset or stop the bleeding, as a lot of people used yesterday when you got Michael Hutchinson, who is just struggling at a level numerically where you just need something more than that. Overall, as a team, too, they're just not playing at a level, so you get that sort of shock value. And then maybe Pavlik, as a veteran influence, can do something positive in some way to motivate or just help to do something to affect Connor Hellebuyck in a positive way. It is just one position here, though.
And yeah, I get what you're saying, Troy. I do. And, you know, as a fan that wants to see success, and I think we all want to see success today. I mean, you know, to be honest, I think part of the value here in letting this play out is to really actually see what we have and testing the metal. I know that there's a confidence issue, and I know you can't have the guys getting scored on 5-6 times a night. I know it's going to take a toll, but I think there's some value in that process to having a very, very candid look in the mirror at the end of the year and saying, okay, this is what we've got. And the shock value of bringing Pav in, I get that, but I'm not sure it's maybe being honest with ourselves with what we have going forward. At the end of the year, let's just say Pav lights it up here. In the next 3, 4, 5 games, they go on a bit of a streak. Does that really solve the problem, or does that put a little bit of wallpaper over a cracked wall that the fans and, well, and people paying the money to go to the games are going to get the wrong impression of what's really going on here? I do get what you're saying, though, Troy.
I'll say this to that, okay? When you talk about wallpaper, next year, Connor Hellebuyck is going to be the number one guy if the projections maintain true. Andre Pavlik wasn't going to be here next year, and Michael Hutchinson was going to be served up for the expansion draft. So really, when you look ahead to next year, it's probably going to come down to the Jets just needing to go out and find a veteran presence for a backup to complement Connor Hellebuyck, and that doesn't really change or affect anything negatively.
And I'll say this about the move, Jason. I understand what you're saying. I think some fans are forgetting that this is also done to help Connor Hellebuyck. Like, it's not to bring Pavlik in, hope he goes on a run and win 20 games. I'm sure they would love for that to happen. But I think they see something that they don't want to run him out there quite yet again, and they want to sort of take a step back and sort of help his overall development. So I think Andre Pavlik's up, but I don't, as Paul Maurice said, I don't think this is, like, for this season, the end of Connor Hellebuyck. I think you're going to see him real soon and see how he reacts. But I think they've clearly noticed something in his ups and downs this year that they want to sort of kind of fix. And then the other part of the move for Pavlik, I think, is to just stop the bleeding. So there's an immediate move here, but there's also, it's not meant, I think, to be punitive towards Connor Hellebuyck. I think it's meant to try and help him and have him take a step back and sort of look at things, in my estimation. We got to take a break, We got to wrap up. Sorry about Ryan, Patrick, Brian, Jason. We'll try and get to you guys tomorrow on the Boston Pizza fan line. Thanks for all the calls and tweets. Before we go, though, if you stay on the line, our 12th guy on hold, or caller, or lady, for that matter, will win Dierks Bentley tickets February 1st here in the city. Dierks Bentley tickets on the line from the Big Show. Dierks Bentley. There we go.
Get a couple of them together, though, and they turn into Dierks Bentleys.
Dierks Bentley isn't Leslie no more. He's not happy with the way I did that to his name. Santa Lucia Pizza, Winnipeg Jets game day. The warm-up at 2 o'clock, H&L Live at 3 till 5:30. Manitoba Building Trades, Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5:30, 6:30 Jets and Coyotes. And then immediately after the game, the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show. And Matt Nichols, fresh off a 3-year deal with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, will join Husser and Lawless live today at Boston Pizza City Place. On behalf of Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening, and we'll be back on the Big Show tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekday 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.